you tomorrow, or we'll, you can hear me tomorrow on Tomorrow Matters, KRXA.
No, really, no, really, no, really. No, really, no, really, no, really. Believe me.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
They're trying to rebuild their lives, and so what do? You put them inside a toxic tin can that makes them sick.
It's a diabolical backfire. Emergency trailers that are creating their own emergency. Fumes released by the cheap particle board and other materials they were made of so quickly when they were needed so badly.
What we found, in particularly in Mississippi, in the town of Bay St. Louis, is that there were dozens of children, young children down there, who were all coming down with a starkly similar kind of symptoms. We found sort of the patient zero doctor who was telling us that he was the one who made the connections with the FEMA trailers.
CBS's Armin Katayan in Katrina Country. Lindsay Huckabee is in Kiln, Mississippi, and her family's hurting.
We've had upper and lower respiratory problems that can't be explained by any bacterial or viral infection. Two of my children have been hospitalized with pneumonia. We've had nosebleeds.
More details tonight on the CBS Evening News. In the Senate, Judiciary Committee members heard about online drug buying, easy for kids to get their hands on prescription drugs. And bogus drugs, too.
Some of these drugs on the Internet are not what they are. A lot of them can be counterfeit. They've actually found that some drugs have been laced with heroin.
Francine Haight's son, Ryan, overdosed on drugs he got online. Fighting fire with fire in New Jersey. Backfires to eat up the fuel in front of it. Fire breaks to keep it corralled if possible. CBS's Allison Harmelin says Little Egg Harbor Township is just across the biggest fire break through it. A six-lane highway.
If it is able to jump over to the other side of the Garden State Parkway, we could be looking at thousands upon thousands of evacuations and an enormous, enormous damage to the community there.
The search for three missing U.S. soldiers in Iraq now has a reward of up to $200,000 attached.
Search dogs, trucks with speakers, thousands of leaflets offering a $200,000 reward for information leading to the soldiers' return.
We're using every asset and resource available to the United States and our Iraqi partners in our efforts to find our soldiers.
Brigadier General Perry Wiggins, Operations Director for the Joint Chiefs here, says he doesn't know if the three missing soldiers are alive.
CBS's Barry Bagnato at the Pentagon today says there's also evidence those three soldiers fought back before being taken captive. You send your student to school thinking university. They take the full complement of college prep courses in high school. A study of more than 1 million students who took the ACT, one of the key admissions tests, shows only 1 in 4 are ready for college out of high school. And 1 in 5 were not ready for college in any of the 4 core areas of undergraduate study. On Wall Street, the Dow up 103 points on the day. The Nasdaq gained 22. Oil, 62.55, down 62 cents. This is CBS News.
If you're living in a space that's too small or too large or too old or just too ugly, here's what you do. Take a 2x4 to the problem, maybe some 2x6s. Heck, just take all your lumber and give it to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We'll design a home that fits your needs and your budget to a T. Call an AIA architect early so your living space won't be too this or too that, but just right. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
If you could change the world, what would you do? How would you use your power? What human needs would you remedy? And while you may wonder about your ability to change the world, you certainly can change your world. The people of CITGO demonstrate this every day. For example, we've contributed over $82 million to the Muscular Dystrophy Association. And we give in other ways to our local communities all across this country, which actually does change the world. CITGO, there at every turn.
Bird. birds are in trouble in Maryland, and it's West Nile virus that's killing them.
Near Washington and Baltimore, 90% of the crows were killed off. The first-of-its-kind study found robins, bluebirds, and chickadees are also dying off at a higher rate in Maryland than anywhere else in the country because of West Nile. Shannon Ledoux, researcher at the Smithsonian Migratory Bird Center at the National Zoo, says weather conditions have been perfect for mosquitoes, and
those are the years where you're going to see the virus really take off.
Ledoux says West Nile has become so commonplace, states and counties don't even test birds for it anymore. Darcy Marchese for CBS News, Washington.
A Knoxville, Tennessee police officer with a heart smacked up his cruiser trying to avoid a darting raccoon on the interstate. Officer Stan Cash swerved to miss the critter on I-275 and wound up hitting the concrete median and the raccoon. He's okay. Car's going to be in the garage a while. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
When your car or truck is ready for a set of new tires, sometimes your wallet's not. So what to do? Hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership.
I can help. Take a tip for me.
Right now, when you use our Genuine Service credit card, you'll get no payments or interest until 2008 when you spend $150 or more. And we'll even beat your best price on tires, guaranteed. Bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price. New tires, installed by Ford trained experts, with no payments or interest until 2008. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer today. Hurry, offer ends June 30th. No payments and no interest if paid by January 2008. If not paid, interest accrues from purchase date. Variable APR is 23.99% as of 3107. Fixed APR, 28.99% on all accounts in default. Minimum finance charge of $1.50. Existing cardholders, see current agreement for standard terms. Subject to credit approval by GE Money Bank. See participating dealer for details.
E. Collins!
Right here.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
From the left coast, the Peter B. Collins Show rocks the nation, he said modestly. Welcome to my little world. We've got a lot to talk about, don't you think?
We live in a mean time and an aggressive time, a painful time, a time where cynicism rots the vine, and a time where violence blocks the sunshine lifetimes. Goodbye in a flash, in a search for love, in a search for cash. Everybody wanna be some fat tycoon. Everybody wanna be on a tropic honeymoon. Nobody wanna sing a little bit out of tune, or be the backbone of a rebel platoon. It's too soon to step out of line. You might get laughed at, you might get fined, but do you fear me when I say I feel pain every day when I see the way my friends gotta slay and never get ahead of bills they gotta pay. No way, no way. Some make a living doing killing, Colombian penicillin. Some are willing to play the villain, they just chilling to pass the time, pass the information, or pass the wine.
On today's program, we'll kick it off with Dr. Dalia Wasfi, an Iraqi, who will talk with us about the ongoing occupation, how it impacts Iraqi citizens, the refugee crisis caused by our occupation, much more, too. Also, coming up in the next half hour, Cliff Schechter returns. He's the proprietor of the website, TheRealMcCain.com. We'll get his take on last night's multiple joint appearance, 9 or 10 of the guys who want to be, and they're all guys, and they're all white, who would like to win the Republican nomination for next year's race. We're on television on the Fox News Channel, whose official role is the keeper of conservative values. We'll talk with Cliff about that and the performance of the man he watches closely, John McCain of Arizona. Also on today's program, we're going to talk with Kara. We'll find out if she says Kara or Kara. Kara Ong. And she is a woman who is with the, she's a policy analyst for the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation. She also published a book a couple of years ago about missile defense. So we're going to split the conversation between Iran's developments of nuclear centrifuges and the U.S. talks that have now been proposed, and also recent developments regarding missile defense in Europe. And here domestically, too, in terms of legislation and funding. Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com returns after a few weeks off. She'll be joining us to talk about an article she published today about the Civil Liberties Oversight Board and their failure to protect our civil liberties.
brought into sharp relief by the story yesterday we brought you about James Comey, who was acting attorney general when Gonzalez and White House chief of staff at the time, Andrew Card, tried to pressure Ashcroft, the attorney general at that point, into approving the NSA spying program over his objections and despite his being in intensive care. Also, we're going to give you a little uplift. There's a powerful new song, a remake of John Lennon's Imagine, which is getting massive traffic at YouTube and other sites. We'll talk with one of the people involved with that, Brett Kimberlin, as we kick off the Free Speech Zone in our third and final hour today. At any point, you can call the program, and you're invited to do so. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372, and we invite your participation. And if your phone doesn't work or you just rather send me a note, you can email me at peter@peterbcollins.com or humblehost@peterbcollins.com. And before we talk to Dr. Wasfi, I want to mention that the Senate made a valiant effort today to cut off funding for the war and the occupation. It's the measure that was proposed by Senator Russ Feingold of Wisconsin, and it went down to defeat. Didn't have a chance of passing. 67 senators voted against it. But later on in the program, we'll give you the list of who voted for it, and it includes Hillary Clinton, that's progress, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and also Chris Dodd of Connecticut, all styling themselves as contenders for the Democratic nomination next year. So lots going on in our world. Dr. Dahlia Wasfi, is a medical doctor who was born in New York, spent much of her early childhood in Saddam Hussein's Iraq. She returned with her family to the U.S. in 1977, and her most recent trip to Iraq was back in the spring of 2004. And she is affiliated with Global Exchange, based here in San Francisco. Dr. Wasfi, thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me, and actually I was there the spring of 2006, so just last year.
Okay, well, I got to correct this then. Thank you.
Sure.
I just want to add here before we get started that I appreciate your speaking up. And I am so disappointed in the corporate media in this country because they rarely give voice to the interests of actual Iraqis and the citizens who are really bearing the greatest brunt of our occupation.
Absolutely. If there's any way you can get me on 60 Minutes, I'd appreciate it.
All right, I'll put in a call. Who would you like to talk to? Katie Couric, Mike Wallace, Scott Pelley. All right, we'll work on that for you. Getting serious, I want to ask first about the refugee crisis, because this gets no ink and very little coverage in the American televised media. And we've talked to Dar Jamail and others who have been chronicling the problems. Upwards of 3 million people have been displaced, some internally. Many have left the country. And those who have left the country presumably have the resources, the mobility, the education that is so important to the future of Iraq. And so not only are people leaving in droves, but those who could be most helpful to Iraq's rebuilding and reconciliation, are checking out.
Right, and that's not by accident. Actually, the numbers now, it's over 3.7 million, approaching 4 million. This is actually at the time that we helped Saddam Hussein come to power in Iraq in the 1960s, after the assassination of Abdul Karim Qasem. The Baathists, the Socialist Party, were vying with the Communists for power in Iraq. Now, this was 1958, and the Americans were not about to let the Communists come to power in this oil-rich region. So we found a young man who would serve our agenda, Saddam Hussein, and what we did was our CIA fed him the names of Communists and intellectuals on the left to eliminate. And this is how his killing sprees got started, and we're seeing much the same today. There are targeted assassinations of doctors and academics. Close to 500 academics have now been assassinated, and so that's why so many people are fleeing, because of those targeted assassinations and because of the violence.
Mm-hmm.
So you remove the people who can rebuild Iraq for the Iraqi people, which, of course, is contrary to the interests of the American government.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now that, while right now they have the means to flee, and some of my family has fled, this is temporary status, because in the neighboring countries such as Jordan and Syria, Syria is still welcoming refugees, but they cannot get decent jobs because they won't be allowed to take jobs away from Syrian or Jordanian nationals. So they're living on what minimal savings they have and often working for free or doing menial labor or just running a small business. And there's nothing wrong with that. But for the educated population, they cannot support their families on that. And this is the largest refugee crisis in that part of the world since the creation of the State of Israel in 1948.
Yeah. And it's barely a blip in coverage in America. Mm-hmm. And, to my knowledge, we have not revised our permission for people to emigrate to the United States. And I believe in 2005, only 5,000 Iraqis were permitted to enter the country.
Right, and then more recently they said that 7,000 would be permitted to come in. But these are collaborators. These are individuals who basically are perceived as sellouts by the Iraqi people. They're getting access and money and political power by collaborating with the Americans, but it's the majority of the Iraqi people who are paying an unbelievable price for our continued illegal occupation.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Wasfi, the Bush administration has mucked this up in so many ways, and of course it was an error to go in and topple Saddam to begin with, in my view. But when we look at this, they keep offering excuses and new plans and, trying to just push out until the end of Bush's term the real damage and the ultimate assessment that we've got to get out of there. And I'd like to ask you how you respond to the latest argument from Bush, which is essentially, who cares how we got there? We can't leave. Because if we leave, there's going to be even greater carnage than we're experiencing right now.
Right, as if we have such a good thing going, we don't want to mess it up. The reality on the ground is that Iraq is in chaos. There is blood running in the streets every day, and none of us can even possibly imagine what it's like. In addition to that, I just recently heard from my cousins who live in the south, which is purportedly better than Baghdad, and they've been without electricity and water for 24 hours. Now, it's spring in the United States, but it is summer already in the desert, and they don't have the electricity to run a ceiling fan, let alone an air conditioner. You're talking about over 110, 120 degrees plus humidity in Basra, and they don't have, if we think about the daily things of life that give us a quality of life, they rely on electricity, be it the radio, television, movies, what have you, and they are sitting there suffering. So that is the reality of daily life. So when Bush says, we can't leave, we have to stay, that means that we have to stay and continue to reap profits for corporate CEOs.
Mm-hmm.
He will continue to send the poor of this country to go kill and be killed to make money for defense contractors in Halliburton.
Yeah. And I need to take a break now, but think about it during the break, and when we come back, I just want to ask you about your view of the scenario of how the United States can pull out and try to reduce, the expected carnage. I realize it's not simple, and trying to predict these things is not easy.
No, it's very simple. Just run.
Okay, we'll get into detail on that after
okay.
the break. We're talking with Dr. Dalia Wasfi here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or a comment, call me now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show.
May 14th, 9 a.m. to noon. Thanks for joining us, The Ed Schultz Show, where America comes to talk.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 22 minutes after the hour. We're talking with Dr. Dahlia Wasfi, an Iraqi, now a naturalized American citizen. Actually, she was born in the U.S., to get it correct, and she is of Iraqi origins, has spent time in her native land. And we have various situations going on here. Dr. Wasfi, I wanted to ask you just to expand on your thought a little bit. You were very succinct in your comment before the break. But we have a lot of hand-wringing. 19 Democrats in the Senate today voted against the Feingold bill to cut off funding for combat operations and get troops home by March 31st of next year. And I think that's a very reasonable proposal. And some of the Democrats have reasonable excuses, I guess. But I can't imagine that people like Jim Webb, a distinguished Vietnam veteran who ran on an anti-war platform in Virginia, would vote against this. What's your take on what it will take to really get an exit strategy passed through the Congress?
Follow the money. Follow the money. First of all, the Democratic Party may be more beholden to the Israeli lobby in this country than the Republicans. And that's the only place at the AIPAC convention, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, where Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama stand side by side with Dick Cheney and Condoleezza Rice, with maintaining their staunch support for our ally in the region, Israel. And the Democratic Party gets 60% of its funding from the Israeli lobby, which means that they are dependent on the lobby for their reelection campaigns. So the constituency they're appealing to are the big money corporations and the big money donors, and this is the problem. Our obligation to the people of Iraq, to the people of America, and to the rest of the world is the immediate, unconditional withdrawal of American forces. If anyone can make an argument to me about how Americans can help the situation in Iraq when it has only deteriorated since we've shown up, I'm happy to listen. But the reality is that every day gets worse. And every day there is another Haditha or Mahmoudiya massacre that we don't hear about. And every day there are more soldiers going AWOL. There are literally thousands who've gone AWOL because they don't want to go back and serve again in a war based on lies.
Let me jump in on the point you just made about the carnage that we don't see. And now the Maliki government has basically banned reporters and camera crews from coming to the scenes of car bombs, suicide bombs, and some of the staged attacks that are almost a daily event in Iraq. Do you think that that is a product of Dick Cheney's whispering in his ear last week?
Well, this is the nature of the so-called freedom of the press. It means you're free to go. Back in 2004, we kicked Al Jazeera out of Iraq. Why? Because they were reporting the truth. They were reporting what the rest of the world is seeing in the mainstream media blocks in this country. For sure, the American administrators are in charge in Iraq, which is why surprise visits happen. But if you look at our policies, it's very closely related to what the Israelis are doing in occupied Palestine. You have the use of cluster bombs. You have daily house raids seeking out so-called insurgents. You have now the building of a wall. You have the uprooting of trees and the agricultural process. This is an attempt to drive the population away, which will support our agenda in the region. And again, we have no business being there. We are there illegally. And I, as well as Iraq Veterans Against the War, who can be found at IVAW.org, are calling for the immediate unconditional withdrawal of American forces and reparations for the Iraqi people. Support the troops by getting them out of harm's way and taking care of them when they get home.
What do you think we can do to change the course of America's desire to impose this oil-sharing agreement on Iraq?
Well, see, this is, it's a reflection of the American agenda in Iraq, although you will still find people who say this is not about oil. But the reality is that the Iraqi people are suffering with no security, lack of electricity, lack of water, and what is their government focused on? Their government is working on opening up the oil resources, to privatization. So this is a reflection that the government is not of the people, by the people, for the people. And if you need a foreign military force to maintain a government in power, what does that tell you? Maliki and Alawi and Chalabi and the rest of those who are sitting in the green zone will be begging for us to take them with them when we leave. This is a puppet government in the green zone, which continues every day, and this isn't reported either. Every day it's sustaining over 50 mortar attacks, and that's supposedly the safe area in Baghdad.
Yeah. Dr. Wasfi, just about a minute remaining. When you look at this situation, will the Maliki government survive, and what will take its place, assuming that the U.S. ultimately does withdraw, hopefully, in the next year?
Well, Maliki is a puppet, and so puppet government will not last when the Americans leave. Iraq is the cradle of civilization. They built the first constructions. They had the first system of writing, law, mathematics. They'll come up with something, I have no doubt. We have enough problems here at home to take care of.
All right. Well, thank you for your clear and courageous voice.
Anna. Now let me tell you how I really feel. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. Well, thank you. Do you blog or have a website that people can visit?
I do. It's called liberatethis.com.
Okay. I got to write that down. Liberatethis.com. I'm going to take a look. Well,
thank you so much.
And can we talk again?
I would love to.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Dahlia Wasfi here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, Cliff Schechter joins us. We're going to talk about last night. It wasn't a debate. It was Q&A from Fox anchors to the Republican Country Club committee, guys who want to be president. We'll talk about that next, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is Todd the taxi driver. And yesterday, I told you you should go take a walk. Well, what did I mean by that? Here, let me try to explain. Let's use high gas prices as an example. Most people feel like big oil is ripping us off and sticking it to us, and unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about it. But I think there is something we can do about it. We can use these community walks as a platform and a way to show big oil or whoever we're unhappy with that we want change. So how do we put something like this together? Well, I suggest call your PTA, talk to the people at church. This would even work with people you just meet at the grocery store. By doing this, you'll meet like-minded people. You can coordinate your efforts to make change, and you'll get some exercise at the same time, which will make you healthier and make you feel better. This is Todd the Taxi Driver. Go out and walk for change.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Presidential elections are planned distractions to divert attention from the chest when the house is a mess, or a petty money squabble when your marriage is in trouble, or a football game when there's rioting in the streets. It's just another movie, another song and dance, another poor sucker who never had a chance.
Yeah, like Tom Tancredo.
It's just another captain going down with the ship.
Yeah, like Mitt Let's Double Gitmo Romney.
Another jerk taking pride in his work.
And that would be Rudy Giuliani, the jerk. Well, I held my nose, and I had to reprogram the V-chip on my main television last night in order to receive the Fox News channel. And the highlight of the evening was after the debate, when the VoteVet spot played with the powerful message from General John Batiste aimed directly at Senator John McCain. To talk about that Republican gabfest last night, we are joined by Cliff Schechter. He is the proprietor of TheRealMcCain.com, has a book about McCain coming out a little bit later this year. Hi, Cliff.
Hey, how are you doing, Peter?
I'm doing fine. I was just disappointed to hear that you've dislocated to Ohio.
Oh, I'm sorry you weren't aware of that as a former Ohioan. Yeah, I figured, just like yourself, I want to get down and hang out with the Keatings. You know? I'm just kidding. It's worse.
Well, you know, there's still Keating landmarks in Cincinnati if you ever make the drive down I-71 there.
Oh, yeah, my wife still jokes about it. Going to, like, the Keating Center and the Keating this and that, because my wife is from Cincinnati.
So oh, okay.
I'm down there plenty.
Yeah. Well, my mom's still in Cincinnati, so I go back every once in a while, but... oh, gosh, there's so many reasons. It started with the Republican machine and ended with the humidity. That was enough to get me on the road.
Well, but there's two reasons, but just quickly, I know we want to talk about the debate, but mm-hmm. if it'll make you feel any better, I went to the Ohio Democratic Party dinner a few nights ago, and it's exciting times here now. That's one of the reasons I moved here, in fact.
Yeah, you got Ted Strickland as governor and Sherrod Brown as a senator. That's
exactly.
Real progress.
And people are like very excited about that and just missed, took a House seat. Bob Nays, of course, the toughest one to take, being that he was kind of a little bit impounded.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other seats we were close to taking, and people are very, the State House, they came just short of taking that back, and there's a lot of excitement here, and so it was actually a lot of fun.
Now, when you dangle your toes in the Olentangy River, have you ever hooked up with the Free Press guys, Harvey Wasserman and Bob Fetrakis?
I know who they are. I know them well, actually. I've read their stuff. I haven't gotten to meet with them yet.
Well, call them up and tell them I said I'm going to buy the first round of drinks. I want you guys to get acquainted.
We should, and when you're back in town, of course, we'll go out and hang out at some old bar and talk, Pete Rose and all the other good stuff everybody talks about in Cincinnati.
In high school, I used to pay, I think it was $1, to sit in the bleachers at Crosley Field, and that's when Pete was not betting on baseball but playing in the outfield.
In fact, playing it instead, yeah.
And we went for the sole purpose of fragging him, and it was a lot of fun. All right, to the event last night, as I said, it's hard for me to watch the Fox News channel, but I screwed up my courage and turned it on. And it was fascinating to me because it seemed that Chris Wallace, Britt Hume, and the White House reporter Carl, whatever his name is.
Carl Cameron, I think they believe the same stuff. So.
Now, Cameron was doing the kind of after...
yeah, he was in the spin room.
Right. Their White House correspondent, I'm sorry.
Britt Hume?
No.
That other guy. I don't even know his name.
Me either.
What are you talking about?
So the three of them were there, and it appeared that their main purpose was to position Fox as the keeper of conservative values. And they were checking on these candidates to make sure that they were on board with all the key conservative dogmatic issues.
Yeah, well, that was one thing. And they also, of course, were making sure. It was so funny in light of, I don't know if you watched the show, The Family Guy.
A little bit, yeah.
Episode this week where Lois, the wife, ran for mayor, and she realized when she just kept saying 9/11, once after the next, and repeating the Republican talking points that,
mm-hmm.
that there was a river that was polluted, but the terrorists had done it, that
yeah.
everybody would vote for. And that seemed to be the other thing they were trying to do at this debate, which was, unbelievable, giving the ticking time bomb scenario.
Right.
With all Jack Bauer now busting in. And obviously that is a one in a million scenario that basically will never happen. But they wanted to give that just to make sure everybody was good, and we could hear Mitt Romney say he'd like to double the size of Guantanamo, because apparently we're now trying to head toward the Gulag, Russia.
Yeah, you want fries with that?
30s.
Should we ask Mitt Romney if he wants to double Gitmo? Does he want fries with that?
Well said, exactly.
I mean, that was amazing.
Rudy Giuliani talk about how much he enjoys torturing people. He tortured me when I lived in New York City, and he was their mayor. So.
Well, it was fascinating. Let's take these one at a time here. First of all, Ron Paul, who is a kind of oddball Republican libertarian from Texas, he's pro-life, he's a limited government guy, and the one nice thing I can say about him is that he has some enlightened views about why 9/11 happened. He's opposed to the war in Iraq, and that separates him from the others on the stage. He was pretty inartful in expressing himself. And he was trying to say, you know, that 9/11 was a blowback thing, and that the years of antipathy that we've created with our policies in the Middle East added up to this. But as he said it, he bought into Republican lines, and he tried to suggest that the sanctions and bombing of Iraq during the 1990s were what propelled Al Qaeda to foment this attack. Of course, the caveat is we still don't fully know who's responsible for 9/11 and how it all happened. I have deep questions about that. But if we accept,
of course, decided not to capture anybody, and
But if we accept the official story, Ron Paul was attempting to get people to open their minds a little bit and say, they didn't hit us because of our movies or our freedom or our money. It's because of the way we have stationed troops on their soil. But he got stuck by, linking it to Iraq, which was a rhetorical blunder in my view. And then Rudy Giuliani was permitted to break format as if he is the designated spokesperson about 9/11. And they let him cut in and express his outrage and demand that Paul retract it. To his credit, Paul didn't retract it, and his follow-up answer was a little bit more clear. But two things happened. One was everybody piled on and dumped on Paul for the rest of the evening. And then inexplicably, in the text message American Idol beauty contest voting, Ron Paul held the lead until I stopped watching. I don't know if...
I was watching it just for that, just to see the expression on good old... Helmet Hair Hannity's face was it was so much fun to watch him through the gritted teeth as he had to keep saying that Ron Paul was winning. I don't know who was involved. I've heard from people that it's libertarians, but it's also paleo conservatives, very upset with their party.
I think it was the Sanjay faction.
The neoconservative, yes. Yeah, exactly. Or Sanjaya, right.
Sanjaya, is that his name?
I don't know. Listen, I don't know much better than you. But yeah, it's a bunch of, it's those folks. But, really, whoever was doing it, just to see Sean Hannity start to almost cry. Really made it worth it. But
now, just as I checked out, Cliff, they had changed the screen because I believe Romney had caught up. They were tied at 27%.
Well, that magically happened, if you noticed, very quickly. Romney was way behind. I'm quite suspicious that Fox, played around with the numbers.
Well, there was a heavy surge from Utah, but because he defined marriage as between one man and one woman, he was the only one to be that explicit.
Right. Well, they figure the heavy surge from Utah, they're trying one surge, which obviously isn't working, so maybe a second one would.
But when they reached, the last thing I saw was Ron Paul was at 27%, Romney was at 27%, and they flipped them. So that on the screen, Romney was on the left for the first time, and Paul, who leads him in the alphabet and had tied him at that point in this bogus voting, he was moved over into second place. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did, and I just enjoyed the fact. I mean, really, just the fact that Romney suddenly caught up when right before that he'd been pretty far behind,
mm-hmm.
which I'm quite suspicious as to what was going on there. I think he'd been closest. They felt like they could get away with that.
Well, maybe since you're there in Columbus, you could do a little dumpster diving next month, get Ken Blackwell's cell phone bill.
That's right. I wouldn't be surprised if old Kenny Boy was involved in that because he's pretty good at suppressing votes, among other things,
mm-hmm.
among inspiring theocracy and the other things that he likes to do in his spare time.
So let's finish up on the hypothetical that they asked toward the end, and this is similar to one that they sprung on the Democrats a few weeks back. And it's to try to prove that these are hardened people who will crush anybody who would commit some terrorist act against the United States.
Right.
And they were trying to out-tough each other, and Duncan Hunter was the one who reached into his Fox vocabulary to say that he wanted Jack Bauer to handle the interrogation of these suspects who, according to the premise of Britt Hume's question, had information on the next imminent attack, the ticking time bomb.
And I even think, and I could be mistaken about this, that he said they suspected. They had very good information that they had this information. They weren't sure, which is another key element there. But no, I mean, these guys were jumping all just like Mitt Romney on talking about Guantanamo. And sure, McCain, of course, came out and said, well, you know, torture never works and stuff like that. But he even hedged a little bit on what techniques can be used. And he even made sure to say that, another question is about war, that we would go attack, blow everything up, you know. And it's not a matter of not being for, if somebody hits us, specifically going after those groups. It's that you could see these guys all repeating the Iraq thing yet again.
Mm-hmm.
And the question that really needs to be asked is, now in light of the fact that you know that every single story that was told about Iraq was a lie, would each one of you again support the war in Iraq? You know, that's the question that needs to be asked of them in a debate. I want to know, now that they know that Saddam Hussein was not working with al-Qaeda, which they should have known anyhow, but fine, there was no yellow cake uranium, there was no weapons of mass destruction, you know, all these things that were told to us that were all lies, would each of these guys think that it's a good idea to take our eyes off the ball, let bin Laden prance around, do whatever he wants, make videotapes, and go and kill civilians and act like idiots and get our troops killed and end up making the world much angrier at us than they were?
Well, and unlike the Simi Valley joint group, I didn't hear anybody talk about the need to go grab Osama last night, even at the gates of hell.
That's right. That's right. Somehow he escaped last night. I guess they were proving their bravado on waterboarding and perhaps drawing and quartering people. I'm not mm-hmm. sure what would be next in line.
Now, you're the McCain expert. My view is that he has no credibility anymore on the torture issue because he compromised and was, schnookered and won't go public about it. With the amendment, the rider to the defense budget in 2005, and then the so-called Military Commissions Act of last fall.
Yeah, no, that's the thing, is he can say all he wants. Last night he tried to say, he hedged it first, and eventually he did come out and say he was against torture. But the truth is you're absolutely right. He stood up with Warner and Graham, Lindsey Graham and John Warner, and then voiced their objections. And when it came right down to it, not only did he in the end leave the language completely vague in the actual Military Commissions Act, so that the president can pretty much declare whoever he wants an enemy combatant. It doesn't protect people. It supposedly protects American citizens, but it's very vague in the language. I've talked to lawyers. Secondly, if you can be a legal resident here and still swept up and put and with no proof and locked away in Guantanamo. Third, you even saw, he allowed President Bush to attach one of these signing statements where they said, we get to determine whether we think the Geneva Convention apply here or not, and he mm-hmm. accepted that. So in the end, he completely caved on that whole thing. The bill's a joke. It doesn't really protect us at all. So, no, I mean, and it's really sad considering what he went through, that in the end he's traded in even his credibility on that very issue.
Yep, and he wants to be the last man standing relating to our war and occupation in Iraq. And that's a serious miscalculation of a guy who's willing to pander to Robertson and the late Falwell and the Bob Jones folks. And, gosh, I'm sure he's got a candle for Oral Roberts somewhere, too. We got to take a break.
The whole apocalyptic crowd, because those are the only people I could see being in favor of this thing anymore.
We got to take a break. We'll return with Cliff Schechter. If you want to call and talk with us, do it. Call us right now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service. specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Tomorrow Matters, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, will be moving from Sundays to a daily spot Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll still be bringing in the guests, and you'll still be calling in with your questions and ideas, and we'll still be working collectively to set the standards for a more sustainable future. But we'll be doing it 5 times a week. Starting May 14th, join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
You got cooking. How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Yes, that's the Republican policy toward the occupation of Iraq, putting out fire with gasoline. Hopefully it's ExxonMobil to jack up their profits a little bit. And, of course, it's sold through Halliburton with a hefty markup. We continue our recap of last night's Republican Gab Fest in South Carolina, brought to you by the Fox News Channel. Hey, and Cliff Schechter from TheRealMcCain.com, one of the things that I just thought about is the way the anchors allowed Rudy Giuliani to break the format and bust in there to be the official respondent to Ron Paul's, as I said, inarticulate remarks about 9/11 and underlying causes.
Right.
And one of the things that I learned today from an article in the paper about Rudy Giuliani's consulting firm and lobbying activities, one of his clients is News Corp.
Oh, there's a shocker.
Huh? Yeah, the parent of Fox News Channel, and I'm just wondering if Rupert was, you know, on the headset to Britt Hume, go to Giuliani.
Yeah, I mean, that would be shocking, because there aren't usually any conflicts of interest over there at Fox.
Yeah, maybe Roger Ailes handled it.
Right, yeah, Roger calling it in, sure. Yeah, I mean, they did let him break in. It was funny. It was sort of funny. Everybody else then, of course, wanted to break in and pile on, too.
Yeah, and then they changed the subject.
Everyone said, no, I want to kill more brown people. I mean, that's essentially what each of them were trying to say.
Now, let's talk about some of these laggards in the race. Gilmore of Virginia.
Yeah.
I don't get him. He wants to claim, a real conservative, heritage. And I don't see that guy's got a base or any national appeal.
No, I don't think so either. I think he's hoping, because if you lived, and I lived in Washington, D.C. while he was governor of Virginia, that if you were there at the time, you know, he cut taxes a lot, which he did, and turned the place into an utter disaster. Gave Virginia the kind of budget deficit that George Bush has given America, so that Mark Warner had to come in and clean up the whole damn place. But as we know, conservatives don't care about that. They just care that you keep cutting taxes, even if it wrecks the entire economy. So that's his claim. He's hoping all the extreme nutty tax cutters who don't actually believe in, you know, paying for basic services and stuff like that might be his base. I don't see that really happening, but I guess that's who he seems to be going for.
Well, and the implication is that if you are not an across-the-board tax cutter at all costs, despite any consequences, that somehow, you know, you're on crack.
The funny thing is, if anybody understands what conservative used to mean pre-Ronald Reagan, in the days of Eisenhower or whatever, it meant balancing budgets. So, in fact, the conservative thing would be to raise taxes and make sure that your budget was balanced because you weren't supposed to spend more than you took in.
Mm-hmm.
They've just, with Reaganism and Gingrichism and Bushism, have hijacked what conservative means. And conservative really has ceased to mean what it used to mean. It's now a completely derelict theory that obviously mm-hmm. creates government like we saw in Katrina, essentially, because that's what you want to do. You want to cut taxes incredibly, defund government to the point where you can't even fulfill your basic obligations to society. So.
Right. Now, Tommy Thompson appears to be a cross between Tommy Lee Jones and George Lucas's jowls. When you look at the picture of him head on, his jowls actually exceed his chin and his jawline. At least that's the way it looks on TV.
Well, he's an impressively jowly man. I will give you that. No one can take away his jowls. To be quite honest, I think he's one of the most sane of any of them. And, you know, it's funny. His biggest problem is he really just isn't very articulate. He's not a good speaker. But the truth is, he's one of the few people who, you know, if you were looking for someone who represents him, I mean, look, he got reelected a number of times with huge margins in Wisconsin, a swing state.
Mm-hmm.
He did actually balance budgets there, I'm pretty sure. He is a guy that I think, while being pro-life, is in favor of stem cell research. He's not completely to the crazy, ridiculous right, but that means he's going to end up being unacceptable.
Yeah.
So, and he's not very articulate either, and that makes it very tough, too.
Dave in Humboldt joins us. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. And I, for me personally, and several of us really, the only reason we are involved in this Middle East occupation is because it's very profitable to certain corporate special interests. If I figure that out, if many of us do, are those candidates themselves unaware of what this is all about?
No, I think they're in on it. I mean, Rudy Giuliani's firm has made over $100 million in consulting and lobbying fees, and he's cashed in on 9/11 more than even those bad movies, you know, about Flight 93 and everything.
Security has been his whole thing, even though, of course, every security expert told him not to put his counterterrorism headquarters in World Trade Center Tower 7, and he ignored them all and chose to put it in the only site that had already been subject to a foreign attack, terrorist attack, in New York City. And so the reason you saw him so much that day is because his counterterrorism center had been destroyed. So that's some of the brilliance of Giuliani, besides also having been warned for years to update the radios so the firemen and the policemen could talk to each other, which they were not able to do that day, and which is the reason why the firemen's unions hate him, and when they were having a debate earlier this year, he was the only one they didn't invite. That's how much they think that he's a hero, but mm-hmm. he's been able to play the game and cash in on it and act like he has a clue about how to protect people when he doesn't, and anybody who's in New York that day knows that.
Mm-hmm. And Dave, to your point, Ron Paul is really the only one who you could look at and say, well, he's clearly not, either on the take or part of the Republican establishment that is dependent on direct corporate resources, including the oil companies and the Halliburtons and other contractors who have benefited so much from Bush's war and occupation.
Well, yeah, I would agree, except for I would say that his libertarian philosophy leads him to want to still further cut regulations on all corporations, and leads him to want to cut even the laws we have on the books now on guns we're supposed mm-hmm. to get rid of. I mean,
right.
He takes the libertarian, get rid of the Department of Education, he takes the libertarian thing to the extreme. So, yes, I will say certainly he is better than some of those other folks, but a Ron Paul presidency probably for anybody progressive would not be a good thing either.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I get a lot of emails from progressives saying, Ron Paul, you ought to have him on the show. And frankly, I'd run out of things to say in probably about 3 minutes. Dave, did you have another comment?
Well, your speculation, I guess both of you, is that they didn't just drink the Kool-Aid. They were all getting their piece of the big pie. Is that pretty much the way you feel it?
Yeah, take a look at the donors to the Republican National Committee, and that'll give you a good shot. Thank you, Dave. Cliff, any final comment on something we haven't mentioned related to the Republicans last night?
I don't really think so. I just think once again, in general, they all showed. I mean, look, you've got people up on the stage there who think that women who are the victims of rape and incest should not have the right to choose. People who think that if everybody had been packing heat at Virginia Tech, we'd be better off. We should bomb Iran. Other people that don't believe in evolution, go through the line that torture is a good idea. You ask yourself whether those are American values, and I think most people will hopefully come to the conclusion that none of those people is frankly fit to be president.
Cliff Schechter, TheRealMcCain.com. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Peter.
Good to talk with you. Coming up next, we'll talk about Iran.
President Bush says he listens to his military commanders. Well, Mr. President, I was one of those commanders, and you weren't listening when we warned you of the dangers we'd face invading Iraq. Now our military is overcommitted, and America is less secure. Mr. President, you're being told we need serious diplomacy, not escalation, and you're still not listening. If the President won't listen, Congress must.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
FEMA trailers are making Katrina victims sick.
FEMA's recommendation for fixing the problem? Open the windows and turn on the air conditioner.
In Iraq, the U.S. military presses the search.
It's important for the American people to know that we're using every asset and resource available in our efforts to find our soldiers.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The trailers provided to thousands of families displaced by Hurricane Katrina were designed for vacation travel, but they've been in use continuously for nearly 2 years now, and health problems are cropping up. Case in point, reports CBS News investigative correspondent Armin Katayan, is a boy named Nikki with a chronic cough.
Dr. Scott Needle, a pediatrician in Bay St. Louis, was the first to notice Nikki was not alone. Dozens of his patients were suffering from the same symptoms that kept coming back. Coughing, burning eyes, nosebleeds, sinus infections, with one curious connection.
Every one of them said, we are living in a FEMA trailer. And not only that, but, little Johnny wasn't having these problems before we moved into that trailer.
Trailers with floors and cabinets built with particle board containing the chemical formaldehyde. Under hot, humid conditions, formaldehyde lets off toxic fumes, especially harmful to young lungs.
It's the long-term carcinogen issue that really concerns me.
Doctor says the exposure could lead to cancer of the respiratory tract. An internal FEMA document obtained by CBS News says cancer is a potential job hazard for people merely inspecting the trailers. Now this.
When your car or truck is ready for a set of new tires, sometimes your wallet's not. So what to do? Hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Right now, when you use our genuine service credit card, you'll get no payments or interest until 2008 when you spend $150 or more. And we'll even beat your best price on tires, guaranteed. Bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price. New tires, installed by Ford trained experts, with no payments or interest until 2008. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer today. Hurry, offer ends June 30th. No payments and no interest if paid by January 2008. If not paid, interest accrues from purchase date. Variable APR is 23.99% as of 3107. Fixed APR 28.99% on all accounts in default. Minimum finance charge $1.50. Existing cardholders see current agreement for standard terms. Subject to credit approval by GE Money Bank. See participating dealer for details.
U.S. forces are on the move south of Baghdad. They're searching house to house for the three soldiers abducted Saturday when their unit was ambushed. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has an update.
The prime objective of the search is to limit the movement of the captors with overhead surveillance, roadblocks, focused searches in specifically marked zones.
Based on credible evidence or intelligence, we believe they were abducted by Al-Qaeda or an associated group.
Joint Chiefs Operations Director Brigadier General Perry Wiggins.
So 170,000 leaflets have been dropped, offering up to $200,000 for help in capturing those responsible. Britain's Prince Harry will not go to Iraq after all. Sir Richard Dannett, the commander of the British Army, changed his mind because of specific threats from insurgents.
These threats expose not only him, but also those around him, to a degree of risk that I now deem unacceptable.
Heavy-duty painkillers without a prescription? A Senate panel heard today it's no problem on the Internet, and most websites don't even ask your age. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has more.
The committee heard from Francine Haight, founder of Ryan's Cause, a group named for her son, who died of an overdose. He bought pills from a website.
Some of these drugs on the Internet are not what they are. A lot of them can be counterfeit. They've actually found that some drugs have been laced with heroin.
Giving a tremendous high, but turning teens into addicts. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Many supermarkets will stop selling certain cough medicines to kids.
Robitussin, Vicks 44 Cough Relief, Sucrets Cough Suppressants.
These are very popular over-the-counter products that millions of customers buy during cold and flu season.
But they'll soon be unavailable for purchase by anyone under 18.
We have limited the sale of these products.
Spokesman Jamie Miller says Giant Food is becoming the latest supermarket chain to make the move because the FDA believes an ingredient called dextromethorphan is being abused. As many as 1 in 10 teenagers may be using DXM, as it's known, to get high. Cammy McCormick, CBS News.
Under fire for arranging a promotion and raise for his girlfriend, World Bank President Paul Wolfowitz is said to be negotiating the terms of his departure, but his lawyer says Wolfowitz will not resign under a cloud and would rather put the matter to a vote by the board. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
If you're living in a space that's too small or too large or too old or just too ugly, here's what you do. Take a 2x4 to the problem, maybe some 2x6s. Heck, just take all your lumber and give it to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We'll design a home that fits your needs and your budget to a T. Call an AIA architect early, so your living space won't be too this or too that, but just right. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
If you could change the world, what would you do? How would you use your power? What human needs would you remedy? And while you may wonder about your ability to change the world, you certainly can change your world. The people of Citgo demonstrate this every day. For example, we've contributed over $82 million to the Muscular Dystrophy Association. And we give in other ways to our local communities all across this country, which actually does change the world. Citgo, there at every turn.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
You can synchronize your watches. It's 6 minutes and 35 seconds past the hour. Coming up later this hour, Larissa Alexandrovna, managing editor of investigative reporting at rawstory.com, returns to our program. She's been on assignment and on the health beat, and she'll be back with us. She's got a story up today about the Civil Liberties Oversight Board. We'll talk about it in about 30 minutes. Joining me now is Kara Ong, a policy analyst for the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation. Their website is armscontrolcenter.org. Since 1999, she has worked for non-governmental organizations on nuclear disarmament, arms control, nuclear energy and waste, and missile defense issues. She's published a number of articles, and she is co-editor of a book called Imagine No Line in the Sky, International Perspectives on Ballistic Missile Defense, published back in 2001. Kara Ong, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you for having me, Peter.
Well, it's my pleasure, and we had you scheduled for last week, and thanks for rescheduling because my voice gave out. And
I'm so sorry about that.
We had to take a day or two off. But I'm delighted to talk with you. And, in fact, the delay has actually given us a little updated information on the developments of nuclear enrichment in Iran. Mohammed Al-Baradei of the IAEA, that is the International Atomic Energy Agency, came public over the weekend saying that a recent spot inspection of the Natanz facility shows that there are far more centrifuges up and running than previously had been thought, and that they appear to have actually started the process of enriching uranium, which Iran says is for nuclear power generation, electricity, and, of course, the West highly suspects is ultimately for the development of nuclear weapons.
Yes.
And so what is your take
this
on this
ongoing saga?
And what about the updated report? Is this a surprise to you that they have made this progress?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, we're not talking about a significant amount of progress. We're only talking, I mean, by Iran's claims, they're planning on having thousands of centrifuges intended to have thousands of centrifuges up and running, I believe, up to 6,000 at this point. And so they're far behind schedule, and we're really talking about very low levels of enrichment.
Mm-hmm.
The problem really comes down to, you know, having full access, that the IAEA inspectors must have full access in order to verify. And I think that Iran has been reluctant to show all of its cards, primarily because there's a lot of mistrust of the West and any manipulation of information, and they want to keep a lot of this under wraps and hold it as a card that they can negotiate with.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly since the next round of talks with the European Union are set now to begin on May 31st.
Mm-hmm. Let me just ask you for your comment on this, and feel free to be critical of what I'm about to say. I recently interviewed an author named Al Venter, who is a longtime correspondent for the Jane's Defense Group of publications. And he's got a new book out called Allah's Bomb. And when he came on the program, he was so eager to express this that he just kind of blurted out to me before I had even asked him the question that he believes Iran already has a nuclear weapon. He suspects it came via A.Q. Khan and the group in Pakistan that has been busy proliferating, at least with design and supporting architecture kinds of things. Is that a credible report, or do you think Venter is off base?
My personal gut instinct is that that is off base. At this point, for the most part at least, the network has been shut down. I think that we would have seen that. I think that Iran's intentions at this point are very unclear, and I think that's part of the problem and part of the game that they're playing. I think that they are trying to master this on their own, and I think that there are, I mean, we also have to take into account their own political discussions inside of Iran. And, you know, there are certainly those inside of Iran who do want to have a nuclear weapon, but I think thus far the political decision to actually go down that route hasn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
And
I also suspect that even if they had a suitcase nuke, that they would tell us that as a way of kind of getting the U.S. and the West to back off and say, hey, this is done.
It's worked well for the North Koreans. I mean, the Bush administration changed its stance on negotiating with the North Koreans once they tested a nuclear device. So I would tend to agree with you that if they did, if they had already acquired a nuclear device, or whether in any form, that they would likely want to advertise.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they're smarter than that, and it's not necessarily in their own national interest to even have a nuclear weapon, and I think that that's part of their own internal debate in terms of discussing, you know, whether or not to go down that route.
I think
that like other countries such as Japan and even perhaps South Korea, they want to have the technology and the know-how, and at least get to the point where they might be able to assemble, but they might not. But really, the feeling is that they don't want to have an actual assembled nuclear weapon, because that would really it would ruin their own strategic interests within the region itself.
Mm-hmm. And Kara Ong, I just want to underscore that Al Venter is the only one who has offered that point of view. And I've talked to a number of other people, including Joe Cirincione, who has a new book out about nuclear issues, and he dismissed it as well. So I just think it's worth talking about, if only to correct the record, which we put on this program a couple of weeks ago. So how do you gauge, then, the international talks that are scheduled to start in the next few weeks? And is the European Union in a position to work with Iran, certainly on a better basis than the U.S. and the way we've tried to control the U.N. process?
Well, I think really we have to recognize that the EU has been negotiating on behalf of the U.S. at these talks. There has been no formal engagement between the U.S. and Iran for nearly 30 years now. And so the Americans have essentially farmed out their negotiating power on this to the Europeans. And so the Europeans represent the U.S. view. Now, the State Department did shift, and the administration did shift its stance on this last May, in May of 2006, when they said that they would come to the negotiating table with the Iranians if the Iranians suspended their enrichment. The problem with that position, which is what they continue to maintain, is that the whole goal of those negotiations is to suspend that enrichment. And so if that's a precondition, then obviously the Iranians are not going to do that, and there is not going to be those conditions for talks. I don't think that this next round of talks is really going to come up with anything substantive. I think there are a lot of things to work out. I think it's important for these talks to occur, and primarily for Larijani and Solana to try to work out some next steps and to see where we are. There have been a couple of indicators that it might not go so well, in that the last round of talks, Larijani had heard that the U.S. might have given the Europeans a go-ahead to offer something to the Iranians, and Larijani raised this within those negotiations, and Solana denied anything. And so there's this feeling that the Europeans are keeping something in their back pocket, and that's lending to a little bit of mistrust that might be leading up to these upcoming talks.
We're talking with Kara Ong from the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And, Kara, next I wanted to ask you about the role of Russia, because if you go back a few years, it appeared that the Putin government was trying to come up with compromise positions. They offered to enrich uranium in Russia and then ship it to Iran under safeguards so that it could only be used for power generation. And, clearly Russia is trying to preserve some of its trade with Iran and trying to avoid sanctions. They've been pretty clear about that at the UN. Is Russia still engaged in this process?
Russia is engaged in this process, and I think we've seen them more engaged at the United Nations Security Council level. But at the same time, they have gone along with the last two rounds of sanctions, resolutions 1737 and 1747. Of course, those have been very targeted sanctions specific to the nuclear program. They're not broad and far-reaching. And I think part of that is that there has been a significant amount of pressure on Russia to do so from the international community, as I think has also been the case with China as well. At the same time, I think the Russians have also have tired a bit of some of the Iranian games themselves, primarily on the Bushehr reactor project, which Russia is trying to complete for the Iranians. Russia actually suspended building and continuing work on the reactors until the Iranians made some payments and there were some negotiations. And so I think the Russians have tired a bit as well. But I think that it is key to bring the Russians, both the Russians and the Chinese, along with anything that is done with the West, that this is really an international issue as well as a regional issue.
Mm-hmm. And so you don't think the next round of talks will lead to much. Do we have a Cold War, or do you suspect that the U.S. will keep ratcheting up pressure on Iran? After all, it was just a week ago that Dick Cheney stood on the deck of an aircraft carrier just a few miles off the Iranian coast and issued more threats.
Well, it's funny that you bring up that, the case of Dick Cheney, because I think there has actually been a significant change within the administration itself in terms of their stance towards Iran just in the last couple of months. And I think it's part of that, you know, is that Dick Cheney is out there increasing the rhetoric, but the reality is there are other more baby steps that are being made on the part of the State Department, and even by Bob Gates. Bob Gates had gone to the region just last month, and then Condoleezza Rice followed him. And when Condoleezza Rice went to the Iraq Regional Conference, you know, she actually invited the Iranians to the table, which is a significant move, and she even had lunch with Mataki, the Iranian foreign minister, there. Now, they didn't have any substantive talks, again, because there's a significant amount of mistrust, as you can imagine, since Iran and U.S. have not spoken in nearly 30 years. But, you know, they ran into each other, they had talks, and there were some positive signs that there might be further talks in the future specific to Iraqi security. Mm-hmm. And that's still a baby step. And now, of course, they have announced that there will be talks.
Between Ryan Crocker, new ambassador in Baghdad.
Yes.
And his counterpart in Iran.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And specific to Iraqi security, but this is a baby step, and I think that this is a positive opening. I'm not optimistic that, again, that these talks would produce any substantive product. But at the same time, I think that any sort of engagement is a positive sign, and I think that what this is what these moves have done is put up some roadblocks for the U.S. to attack Iran in any sort of way.
We're going to take a break and return with Kara Ong, ONG. Visit the website armscontrolcenter.org. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way Carmel's only bookstore and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a look at the latest. Let's start off with a problem. Located in Soquel, it's Soquel Drive at Center Street. And I can tell you that looks like this is a, well, let's see, a major injury crash reported. They had a medical helicopter. It was a moped that was actually down in the roadway. So obviously not a good situation. Again, they're landing that helicopter to the scene there. So no estimated when time when that roadway is going to be reopened at this point. Let's take a look at Rio Del Mar. Northbound one after Rio Del Mar. It is a crash there. Three vehicles blocking the left lane and CHP on scene. Santa Cruz looks like northbound Highway 1 at 17, left lane blocked with the vehicle hit the center divide level. There's also large chunks of concrete that have fallen into the lanes as well. This report brought to you by Office Depot.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 minutes after the hour. My guest is Kara Ong, policy analyst for the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation. And she's co-editor of a book called A Maginot Line in the Sky, International Perspectives on Ballistic Missile Defense. And I love the reference to the Maginot Line because as a young man, my father took me and we toured that part of Europe, the French-German border. And actually saw some of those gun emplacements that were built after World War I to prevent any further attacks. And they forgot to make the turrets 360 degrees. And so the Luftwaffe flew in behind them and destroyed them pretty quickly. And that is, I think, a great reference to at least the current state of development of the technology of missile defense. And I wanted to ask you about two fronts. One is the U.S. has said that we want to give our Star Wars system to the Czech Republic and Poland for deployment over the next 10 years to prevent an attack, a missile attack from Iran. And this seems so far-fetched and so incomplete. To, you know, just put these alleged barriers in two places, when many other areas would be vulnerable. And of course, we, don't acknowledge that, the system doesn't work.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I've been working on missile defense since 1999, and though I'm following Iran much more closely, it's interesting for me to see this proposal about the Czech Republic and Poland come up now in the context of Iran, because they've been trying to sell it to the Czech Republic and Poland for years, and largely that's because they haven't been able to get other European countries to do it, even though European countries benefit from this system, particularly Germany, where there are defense contractors in Germany who work on the U.S. missile defense program. You know, there was a lot of protest to installing components of the missile defense system in the United Kingdom, as well as even in Greenland. There's been a lot of ground protest from people there. And you're absolutely right. There is this argument that the system doesn't work. But going even a little bit further beyond that argument, we're wasting billions of dollars on this system.
$110 billion so far.
Yes, it's actually probably even more than that. And actually, while we're talking right now, they're just getting ready to debate on the House floor potential cuts to the missile defense system, fortunately. But we're talking, you know, under $1 billion, which is really unfortunate.
And that's the other thing I wanted to...
billions they want to allocate again this year.
And, Kara, that's the other thing I wanted to bring up. I was stunned by an op-ed published by Blue Dog Democratic Congresswoman Ellen Tauscher in the San Francisco Chronicle about a week and a half ago. And she is arguing for these cuts, and the language would only allow the systems to be deployed in the United States. But she's missing the bigger boondoggle, that they're going to throw an $8 billion budget at it in the coming fiscal year. And it's a total waste of money and a fig leaf to believe that this would protect us.
Absolutely. The other issue with this, too, is that even though we deploy this and whether or not it works, every other country has to believe that it will work. And so what this does is it creates this ratcheting up effect, primarily with China, for example. Mm-hmm. So once we get to the point of having 100 interceptors deployed, which is, I believe, the first stage, you know, that would essentially counter, if there's a hit-to-kill ratio of 4-1, that would essentially counter China's 25 ICBM arsenal. And so China's very concerned and has been making modernizations because of this program over the last couple of years. Well, that in turn affects India, which in turn affects Pakistan. So this could create regional arms races if we continue to pursue this. The other issue that is even less looked at is the testing that goes into this and the indigenous peoples that are affected primarily in the Marshall Islands. Our missile defense base, there's a U.S. Army base in Kwajalein, which has been there since the Marshall Islands were a trust territory of the U.S. But essentially, we test our missiles as well as our missile defense system and leave behind perchlorate, beryllium, and other remnants of these systems on the lands there that have yet to be cleaned up. And the land remains not in the possession of the Marshallese themselves. Meanwhile, the Marshallese are forced, of that area, are forced into a tiny little atoll called Abai, which would be like... It's the most densely populated island in the world, mm-hmm. and is actually more populated than it would be like having all of New York condensed into the first floor.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us, and thanks for bringing that up about the Marshall Islands. I wasn't really familiar with that. Kara Ong, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Why are realtors from Los Angeles spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to defeat Measure A here in Monterey County?
It sure isn't because they want to save our farmland.
The developers and supervisors oppose Measure A because it puts an end to their cozy development deals.
Cozy development deals like the massive Rancho San Juan development that was approved by the Board of Supervisors but rejected by 76% of voters.
It's true. 76% of the voters opposed Rancho San Juan because it was wrong for Monterey County. But the developers pushed it through anyway.
That's why we need to pass ballot Measure A to protect our quality of life.
Measure A is a common-sense, community-minded plan to control growth that was written by the people of Monterey County.
It lets the people decide how fast we should grow.
So join the League of Women Voters and the California Nurses Association, who all support Measure A, because it lets the community have a voice about our future.
And that's why the Community General Plan Committee paid for this message. Vote yes on Measure A.
The biggest elephant in the room. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. There was one thing in last night's GOP debate that everybody agreed on. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee was talking about changing the tax system when he decided that he could best illustrate his point this way.
We've had a Congress that spent money like John Edwards at a beauty shop, and it's high time.
His competitors knew right away he'd gotten off the best line of the night, and the South Carolina audience? Well, Huckabee's remark finally gave them hope. Because Republicans are ready for Hillary and they're ready for Obama, but they are scared to death of John Edwards' hair. Edwards' hair has been a key factor since it first ran in 2004, but in the hands of Beverly Hills stylist Joseph Tornueva, who gave it two haircuts at a cost of $400 each, it has become the world's sole remaining super-powered hair. And Republicans are worried because their most powerful hair is on Mitt Romney, who pays only $50 a cut, making John Edwards' hair fully eight times as powerful. And as for the GOP frontrunner, Rudy Giuliani, he may be tough on terrorists, but I don't know one Beverly Hills stylist who takes him seriously. And what's really spooking Republicans is that Edwards keeps saying that he wants every American to have the chance to be as rich as he is, meaning that millions could one day have unrestricted access to very powerful hair, except, of course, for the fully automatic assault hair. But the implication is crystal clear. Either the Republicans stop John Edwards' hair now, while it's relatively confined to just his head, or it is going to follow them home. Now this.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamonds. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
I'm Todd Hurlbert, and I invite you to listen to The Week in Politics at our new time, 7 p.m. Monday nights. We're Monterey's hardest-hitting political hot talk. We cover local politics, also tell you what's going on in Washington, D.C. And most importantly, we take your calls and find out what you think. So if you haven't listened to us before, find out what we're all about. Monday night, 7 p.m. It's The Week in Politics. See you there.
On the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Coming up next hour, we'll take lots of your phone calls in the free speech zone. And we're going to kick it off with some new music. It is a remake of John Lennon's Imagine song, combined with the old Plastic Ono Band song called War Is Over. And it's been updated. It's called Bush Is Over. A little salve for us, a little hopeful commentary. And that'll be coming up. And then lots of your calls. You know the number, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And Larissa's back. We missed her. Larissa Alexandrovna, the managing news editor from rawstory.com. She was on assignment and then unavailable, and now she's back. Hey.
Hey. I'm glad to be back.
Well, it's great to talk to you again. How are you, Larissa?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Good. Well, you've got an item up on your blog at largely.com about the murky and little-known group called entity called the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board, which appears to have great intentions that will never be achieved.
Right, exactly. In other words, they have achieved their intentions, and that is to bury any bad news about violation of civil liberties.
Mm-hmm.
So that's their one and only role, and they've, I think, successfully done that. And the ACLU is throwing basically a huge fit.
And the issue at hand is that the White House has once again censored a report submitted by this board. Mm-hmm. And Lanny J. Davis, who was a counsel in the White House during the Clinton administration, a guy I've met a couple of times, and I wouldn't call him a progressive, but he resigned in protest.
Right. I mean, he did resign in protest, and and he's not a progressive, but obviously he's a Bush appointee. So, but that goes to tell you just, you know, when you have people like him resigning and you have people like McNulty resigning, who I don't believe for a moment is the fall guy for the whole Attorneygate thing, you start to see that, I mean, even the most, what we would have considered, you know, maybe a decade ago, far right now seem absolutely reasonably center. And but the goal was essentially to make sure that no bad news about violations and civil liberties got out. And that was kind of like the way they fixed the intelligence around the climate warning and changed wording of the scientists and such.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with this particular mini scandal.
Well, and it kind of comes into sharper relief with the testimony yesterday from former Deputy AG James Comey.
Right.
He was the acting Attorney General back in 2004, and the authorization, these 45-day authorizations for the official law-breaking violation of the FISA Act by permitting the NSA to spy on intercept American phone calls and other communications, including email, that he basically added some depth to this story. And for a moment, it makes John Ashcroft look like a principled guy.
Well, and I said that last night as well. I said this about John Negroponte as well. And what's interesting is if you listen to Comey, what he implies is that there is yet another program or series of programs. He wouldn't name the program, so we really don't know what it is that they're talking about. But the fact that the White House undermined the acting attorney general to go to the hospitalized, no longer, you know, step down for a moment attorney general, mm-hmm. to pressure a sick man into signing something that he had already said no on is really amazing to me at the lengths to which these people will go.
And the gopher who was dispatched to get this done was Alberto Gonzalez.
Well, and in all his smugness.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have to say, I apologize, I'm not prepared because I thought we were discussing the article I wrote today, or I mean that ran today.
Well, actually, when I went to Raw Story, this was the item I found. So you need to direct me. Let me link back to the homepage at Raw Story, because the one I saw was Larissa, Civil Liberties Report Censored.
Oh, okay. No, that's just, you know, that's my kind of side blog stuff. No, the article is called Heck of a Job, Bush Administration Vaunted Bogus Credentials for Birth Control Czar.
Great. Well, I'm pulling it up right now. Introduce me to it.
Okay. Well, the, if you may recall, this is just such a bizarre story. Late last year, a Dr. Kerouac was appointed as Deputy Assistant Secretary for Population Affairs.
Sure.
In the Health and Human Services Department.
I remember this guy, yeah.
Right. You know, and there was so much hysteria, and rightfully so, over his ethical position on Planned Parenthood, or rather his beliefs on Planned Parenthood, such as anti-Planned Parenthood and anti-contraception and such, that there was a lot of controversy over that aspect of his nomination. And it looks like nobody really checked him out in terms of background and qualifications. And, you know, 5 months into his little stint at HHS, he suddenly resigns without explanation. And we're looking at all these press accounts, and it appears as though people are reading from a press release where it's, you know, 20-year history in private practice, 10 years as a director of this Christian abortion crisis, pregnancy crisis center called A Woman's Concern. There's a chain of them in Massachusetts, so he's, you know, his background includes all of these, you know, very big titles and, you know, these 10 years and all of this stuff. And so we're looking, so we start digging into this, and the man does not have 20 years in private practice. He's lucky if he has 5.
Really?
Yes. And and this supposed directorship he had of A Woman's Concern, as, you know, as absolutely unethical as these organizations are, which is what caused all the uproar initially, we find out, we got their tax records and contacted them and said, okay, what's the story here? Which is accurate, your tax records or this man's background as it is presented by HHS?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, no, he was only a part-time volunteer. So,
well, and I'm reading here, you also dug up his records from the Massachusetts Board of Registration in Medicine.
Right.
To show that he didn't finish his residency until 93, so the claim that he has practiced obstetrics for 20 years is simply not possible.
And he didn't get his certification until 95, and he had resigned from private practice in 2000. We got a hold of his own... at the time of his appointment, he was already under investigation in Massachusetts for Medicaid fraud. In his defense, he filed a response to their questions. We got a hold of that document. And in that document, he says, I stepped down for private practice, you know, in 2000. So if he wasn't board certified till 95 and he resigned in 2000, or he relinquished his so-called private practice in 2000, and that's only 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So when we contacted HHS and we said, you know, what's going on here, they told us they don't have his resume, never seen one. So we asked about, you know, well, this man has a control over a $300 million budget. what experience does he have that makes him qualified to manage that kind of money? And the health of underprivileged women, they wouldn't tell us anything. They wouldn't provide any information. They wouldn't tell us what in his 5 months he did with that money, if anything, what programs he shifted the money to and whatnot. So it's a really sketchy background. And moreover, the Massachusetts Secretary of State said that they have no registration on file for a private practice in his name ever in the state.
And you show that he had an actual address, or he reported one in Revere, a suburb of Boston.
Right. He reports one. No, this is he lists one in his physician's profile, which is, and a phone number. But that phone number is registered to someone else, a demerit. And when we looked up demerit actually resides at a different location, and that location, that house, is registered to Kerouac.
Hmm. So,
I mean, I have no idea what's going on here. What I do know is that this is a very sketchy background, and what type of vetting is going on, and where these people are given this kind of money to handle, such something as delicate as the health of underprivileged women in the country. It's just alarming to me.
Well, I'm seeing this for the first time, but my first impression, and this may be a little left field, but it kind of reminds me of the way the CIA has used front organizations and addresses to hide the ownership of the airplanes used in extraordinary rendition.
Well, you don't even have to go that far. You can go to Jack Abramoff, who did the same thing with people like Amy Ridenour and Tom DeLay to create a series of these so-called front organizations where they funneled money into the GOP. I can't say that's the case here. I don't know what the case is here. I do know that the location that his phone number goes to is under somebody else's name,
mm-hmm.
and it's a house, but it's not a private practice house, so it never has been, and the address he listed before was never a private practice either. And that he was a volunteer for these kookies. And when I say kookies, I'm not kidding. That these crisis pregnancy centers, as they're called, are really just astonishing. What these people do is, because underprivileged women, they walk in, they think they're walking into Planned Parenthood,
mm-hmm.
type of facility. And what these people will do is they'll give them pregnancy tests and tell them they're not pregnant. And that so that way the women will go home, if they are pregnant, that is, tell mm-hmm. them they're not pregnant. And then they go home, and then they're too far along to get an abortion.
Right.
Or what they'll do is, one of the things he did was he used ultrasound in his volunteer capacity or whatnot to tell the women, oh, you know what, you're so early that you're likely lose the baby. Come back in 9 weeks or so, and if you hadn't lost the baby by then we'll look at, other options. Well, by then it'd be too late. So, I mean, it's like this trickery. And apparently during his tiny practice of 5 years, he ran his private practice out of one of these facilities on top of this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really alarming to me that to think that a person like this, and not only all of these shady background dealings. I mean, this is a man who's basically lectured that women's sexuality, that women who are sexually active develop emotional problems and, brain problems. Their brain chemistry changes and they develop mental illnesses and blah, blah, blah.
And is he one of these people who puts forth the phony information such as the non-existent link between abortions and breast cancer?
I haven't seen him say that one, but I, mm-hmm. he does that with premarital sex and contraception.
Uh-huh.
Actually, all sex, premarital or postmarital, and contraception.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I mean, he's a quack to begin with, but now now he's not just a quack, he's a shady character. I mean, this is a man who has no business. How did he get appointed? Who suggested him? And so he resigned suddenly, only 5 months into this whole fiasco.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out that he was being investigated by the Massachusetts Medical Board for prescribing medications using fake names and all of this stuff and misrepresenting his background and such. But apparently they had resolved those claims, those complaints made against his license in January of this year. He resigned in March. So are there other outstanding claims that we don't know about?
Mm-hmm.
It's really bizarre.
This is amazing. We're going to take a break and return with Larissa Alexandrovna. You can read all about it at rawstory.com. More in a moment. If you have a question or comment, you can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I interview great guests, including national, regional, and local personalities that make our planet so delicious. And I want your feedback. It's simple. Go to www.tastyplanet.org, complete the survey, fill out a form, and you'll be automatically entered to win. That's all there is to it, and your info is safe with me. I won't use it for anything but this contest. So listen in on Saturdays from 1 to 4 p.m., and as Julia Child used to say, bon appétit!
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m., from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a look at the latest. And we're going to start off with a problem in, CHP telling us about Rio Del Mar, northbound one after Rio Del Mar. Three vehicles have been cleared to the right shoulder, which is certainly some good news. Also, Santa Cruz, northbound one at Highway 17. It is a solo vehicle. Hit the center divide and knocked out chunks of a concrete. Fire crews expect to have the right lane blocked till, I should say, crews expect to have the lane blocked till about 5:45 tonight. So it's going to be an ongoing situation. Meanwhile, Castroville, Highway 1 at Merritt, we have a vehicle on fire. It's on the right shoulder. Fire department is on the way to the scene there. They very well should be there by now. Capitola, southbound 1 before Park Avenue, we have a 2-3 vehicle crash. It's in the center of either sport. Brought to you by Office Depot. This Saturday, Office Depot supports Armed Forces Day by giving 10% of the qualifying to members of any veteran or branch of the armed.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. I want to dedicate this to Randy Tobias and Dr. Eric J. Kerouac. Come on, abstain with me, will you?
Oh, baby, looking at you tonight. There's something I'd like to do tonight, and I believe in abstinence only. But I don't want to leave you lonely, so let's stay with me, baby. Refrain with me, baby, all night long. I'm gonna wanna jump your bones. I'm gonna have to dump that joint. So come on now, get stoned in lover's lane with me. Abstain with me.
That's Roy Zimmerman from his CD called Faulty Intelligence. It's called Abstain With Me, with apologies to the Reverend Al Green. We're talking with Larissa Alexandrovna. Her story's up at rawstory.com about this guy, Dr. Kerouac. And I pronounced that phonetically to avoid any confusion with the great beat poet Jack Kerouac.
Correct.
He spells it K-E-R-O-A-C-K. And Larissa, you did a lot of digging here. It's very impressive work.
Thank you.
Let's just talk about...
Is that a surprise?
No, ma'am. No, not a surprise. You mentioned that he resigned in late March of this year...
Right.
...to defend himself against allegations of Medicaid fraud levied against his clinical practice, but there wasn't one, or at least not much of one.
Well, there was something going on where he was acting... He is a physician, where he was acting in a way that wasn't correct. Now, he was prescribing medications, and as a physician, he can do that, and he doesn't have to have a private practice to do it with. But we're not sure of the full nature of the allegations against him, because the complaints, the patient's rights are protected as well. But, you know, clearly something was going on, and in that 5 years where he was practicing via his private practice out of one of these pregnancy crisis centers, he could have very well have seen some of those women coming off the street, and God knows what he gave them, or you know, how he filed his insurance claims or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard to say. I mean, but what we know, though, is that 20 years is not 5 years.
Yeah.
And a director, you know, I mean, perhaps... It's a matter of semantics, you know, but when I see the word director and 10 years as a director,
mm-hmm.
I don't think of a part-time volunteer, and that's what he was. And and the current head of this woman's concern, and we talked to the past president and the current one. The past president, you know, basically didn't care what he said. He wasn't... any longer affiliated with these people. And he said, yeah, he was just this part-time volunteer. And then the current president found out and called us immediately and said, no. We paid him sometimes. You know, but we have all the records.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the tax records, which we put up as well. And if you go through them, he's not on there. So I don't know. Maybe they paid him a very small, you know, fee to direct whatever it was he was directing, but it's all very sketchy, that's for sure.
Now, I did a little Google search on his name during the commercial break.
Oh, you
and,
did? Okay.
And one of the second entry that comes up is Catholic Answers Chastity Question, and it directs you to catholic.com/chastity.
Right.
So is Kerouac linked to Catholic groups, and was somebody like Rick Santorum or Sam Brownback his sponsor as he got this job?
It's possible. I don't know. The problem is this guy doesn't have a lot of research credentials behind him, a lot of publishing credentials, a lot of any type of credentials. So the one big so-called research thing he did about women's sexuality and brain, you know, brain damage is, you know, was then picked up by all of these various groups. Now, he wrote it for, if I remember correctly, the Abstinence Clearinghouse. Is the group that he wrote it for.
Well, there's one up here called the Abstinence Medical Council.
And that, too. I mean, they're affiliated.
Okay.
And that he did this one research paper that got all of this attention from the the pro-life groups. So everyone jumped on to it because he's a doctor. So I don't know if he's actually affiliated with any meaningful religious organization, or if they just believe he really is a good he's a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Now, you turned over a lot of rocks here. Did you check to see if he was a pioneer, a Bush campaign donor?
Actually, it's impossible to find anything about his living situation. In fact, we couldn't even find a wife for him, even though HHS has said that he is married. I mean, it's truly bizarre. And so even with things like donations, I didn't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't, I kind of stay away from that anyway, unless it's some huge amount or done in a sleazy way, because we all donate to someone.
Yeah. No, I was just curious if he was a pioneer or somehow.
Well, a pioneer would be like someone who raised a lot of money.
Right. Yeah, 100,000 or more.
Right. And so. I don't think he would be, I didn't come across that, but.
Well,
like I
and
said,
as a volunteer, he probably didn't have $100,000 to cough up. Well, this is fascinating.
Well, yeah, but how did he get? If he was this unknown, low guy on the thing, how did he get this high level position with a $300 million budget?
Well, keep asking, and maybe we'll find out. Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. Thanks. This is fascinating.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you next week, I hope.
Yep.
Coming up next, a remake of John Lennon's Imagine. I think you're going to like it. And the Free Speech Zone. I want to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B.
Salt means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies by him before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can rule. Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
It can literally leave you gasping for air.
Becky Gillette of the Sierra Club on the environment inside FEMA trailers being used by thousands of Katrina victims along the Gulf Coast.
They're trying to rebuild their lives, and so what do? You put them inside a toxic tin can that makes them sick.
CBS News investigative correspondent Armin Katsayan discovered a pattern of illness.
What we found, in particularly in Mississippi, in the town of Bay St. Louis, is that there were dozens of children, young children down there, who are all coming down with a starkly similar kind of symptoms. We found sort of the patient zero doctor who was telling us that he was the one who made the connections with the FEMA trailers.
The coughing, burning eyes, and nosebleeds are apparently due to formaldehyde in the particle board used in the construction of the trailers. But FEMA boss David Paulson says that hasn't been proven.
I don't know that that's the cause, and if that's the case that, that they're getting sick, I'm sorry that's happened. I don't know if the trailers are causing that.
An internal FEMA document obtained by CBS News cites cancer as a potential job hazard for people inspecting the trailers. South of Baghdad, teams of troops and dogs continued the search for three Americans abducted during the ambush that left four U.S. soldiers dead. There was fierce resistance, says Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Garber.
You can tell from, which weapons were used in the fight. These soldiers that were attacked that Saturday morning did fight back.
He says 6,000 Americans and Iraqis are involved in the search. They even drained a canal after getting a tip that something might be found there. The Senate took a series of votes today searching for common ground on the Iraq war. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that.
The Senate vote showed some hardening of Democrats against the war, growing concern by Republicans, but still no consensus
strong enough to counter President Bush. 29 Democrats voted to cut off funds to force withdrawal of U.S. troops in 10 months. That's a big jump from earlier, while many Republicans backed a measure threatening aid to Iraq if its government doesn't do better. But still not enough, said Democrat Joe Biden, to override a veto.
Because until we get 67 votes here, we're not going to be able to change this god-awful war.
Congress is working on a new bill to fund the war, hoping to negotiate language the president will accept. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Apparently, negotiations between World Bank President Paul Wolfowitz and the bank's board aren't going well. They had been expected to work out the terms of his resignation. But late today, a lawyer for Wolfowitz said he will not resign under this cloud, meaning the controversy over a promotion and pay raise for his girlfriend. Attorney Bob Bennett says Wolfowitz would rather put the matter to a vote by the board. Another record-setting day on Wall Street. The Dow jumped 103 points to 13,487. The Nasdaq was 22 points higher at 2547. This is CBS News.
Here at Ortho, we get stories like this all the time.
You haven't really heard a scream until your kid sees a bug in the house. So I turn to Ortho Home Defense Max. It kills the bugs I already have and forms this barrier that stops new ones from coming in for a whole year. That's 12 months I don't have to worry about bugs or screams.
Tell your story. Read others. Find out how to solve your bug problem. All at orthoprotects.com. This weekend, protect your home from bugs with Ortho Home Defense Max. Follow directions on label.
From the crack of dawn to late at night, cops are on the lookout for seatbelt violations. It doesn't matter when or where you drive, wear a seatbelt or you will get a ticket. Cops are cracking down like never before, so remember, always buckle up or you will get caught, day and night. Click it or ticket. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
It's not just a cartoon cliche. Mail carriers really do get attacked by dogs, especially in some parts of the country. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the story.
The bane of a letter carrier's existence? Not customers angry the cost of mailing a letter just went up to 41 cents. Of course, these are dogs, and they really do bite mailmen and women. It happens more than 3,000 times a year. Except in New York City, official figures show no letter carriers bitten by dogs last year. But the top five danger spots for Postal Service employees, three of them in California, Santa Ana, Sacramento, Los Angeles, Houston, and Miami, Fort Lauderdale, also high on the list in what the Postal Service calls Dog Bite Awareness Week. Dan Revive, CBS News.
When an electrical connection snapped, stranding a train in India, hundreds of passengers knew they were stuck unless they took matters into their own hands. They got out and pushed the train to the next power pole, 60 yards away. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
When your car or truck is ready for a set of new tires, sometimes your wallet's not. So what to do? Hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Right now, when you use our genuine service credit card, you'll get no payments or interest until 2008 when you spend $150 or more. And we'll even beat your best price on tires, guaranteed. Bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price. New tires, installed by Ford trained experts, with no payments or interest until 2008. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer today. Hurry, offer ends June 30th. No payments and no interest if paid by January 2008. If not paid, interest accrues from purchase date. Variable APR is 23.99% as of 3107. Fixed APR 28.99% on all accounts in default. Minimum finance charge $1.50. Existing cardholders see current agreement for standard terms. Subject to credit approval by GE Money Bank. See participating dealer for details.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
If you want it, peace.
Peace. P-E-A-C-E. P-E-A-C-E.
So this is springtime.
The years have been dark. The sun is now shining. Love is the spark.
We heard the unmistakable voice of John Lennon. And this is one of his powerful tunes.
Make a new day.
Happy Christmas, War is Over. And it's been retrofitted. Here for Aught 7.
Both here and far away. It's everyone's time.
We're seeing a chorus of singers all wearing t-shirts that says, they say, Bush is over.
Let's make it over. And so in the springtime, for moms and for dads, and now and forever, no more being sad.
You can check this out for yourself. The video with this music is posted at YouTube. Just enter in the search window, it's springtime, Bush is over. And you'll find it right there. Over 25,000 people have viewed it. And joining us is one of the people responsible, Brett Kimberlin. Brett, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hi, Peter. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Well, thanks for doing this. I think it's a very powerful piece, and we've watched it a couple of times here, and I want to encourage people to, even if they're YouTube virgins, to go and check it out. Tell me what motivated you to do this.
Well, you know, during the 60s, John Lennon had a big impact on the activist movement, the anti-war movement, and he obviously wrote the original version of this, Happy Christmas, War is Over, and that actually came out before the war was over, and he was envisioning the war being over with that song, and so we felt a few months ago that, you know, we needed to get that same feeling going with this generation, and so the idea came up to make it Bush is over, and by Bush being over, would not only meaning that the presidency would be over, but that the era of Bush, the darkness of this last 6 years would be over. So by writing the song, I rewrote the lyrics and, you know, brought it kind of a modern sound to it.
And are you singing?
No, it's my band, and I wrote, like I said, I wrote the words. I play guitar mm-hmm. on it, and I play some percussion, and I do sing the background in the chorus, but my keyboard player, Brian Sims, is actually singing the lead on
uh-huh.
this one. And so we just felt like, you know, we wanted to evoke the message of Lennon, which is peace and hope and getting rid of violence and darkness. And the springtime, you know, evokes a new beginning. And so the interesting thing about this song was that we conceived of it, and it only took us 3 weeks to actually get the song done, mastered, and mixed, and up on YouTube. So it was an amazing ride. And in the original version, Lennon had the Harlem Children's Choir singing the chorus. And
I remember that.
And we had to look around pretty hard here. I'm in the D.C. metro area, and you know, a lot of the children's choirs around here didn't want to do it because of the political message or the fact that the Republicans were, you know, represented as parents with the children and so on and so forth. But the Harmonic Angels stepped right up to the plate, and they did a fabulous job. You know, there was only, I think, 16 of them, but it sounds like a 70-person choir.
Well, you stacked the tracks, didn't you?
Yeah, we stacked the tracks. Got it.
All right, let's listen to that chorus, a little more of the song here.
Okay. Yeah.
kind of a We Are the World without Michael Jackson feel to it. Well, this is a really powerful piece, and let me tell you, Brett, that we talk on this program almost every day about the mess in Iraq and the crimes and misdemeanors of the Bush administration, and I recognize that it can get a little dark and a little overpowering for people. And I think this is a moment here where you're offering a powerful message in an uplifting and kind of inspiring way.
Well, you know, we do a lot of protest music with my band. And
What's the name of your band?
It's Op Critical.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we've done a lot of kind of aggressive anti-Bush songs, too. But I felt like, you know, I couldn't do that in the name of Lennon, first of all, because, you know, when he did Happy Christmas, he didn't talk about impeaching Nixon. You know, he was just talking about the message of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of felt like I had to channel exactly or the way that he would write this. And then I wanted to bring the music up to this type of era, you know, so we put the little drum loop at the beginning and then had some really nice clips of Lennon that we were lucky to get. And on the video, there's even some other video clips of Lennon. We mix those in. And,
yeah.
And then at the end of the song, you know, there's another clip of Lennon at the very end. So it really, I mean, the thing that's interesting about it is, of course, all the baby boomers that see it, you know, can really feel the message, but even the kids that sang in the choir, they were very emotional.
Yeah.
when they sang it.
Well, Brett, it's great to meet you. Thank you for doing this, and thanks for being on the show today. And I'd like to offer you a swap. If you'll send me an Op Critical CD with some of your best Bush bashing songs, I will trade you one for my collection. It's Roy Zimmerman's Faulty Intelligence. And he's got some really great songs about the current political scene with a good dose of humor in there.
So, well, I also run this organization called Justice Through Music, and we have lots and lots of protest videos and songs up there. People can go there. It's jtmp.org.
jtmp.org. Brett, thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks, Peter.
Yep, nice to talk with you a little bit more here. They can have it. They're just not aware they can get it. Powerful reconnection with John Lennon with an updated message. Again, go to YouTube.com and enter Happy Springtime, Bush is Over. You'll find it. Or go to JTMP.org and check it out. And Katrina, could you get Brett's address? And we'll do that CD swap and see what kind of good tunes they have there. I'm looking forward to that. It's the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. You know the rules. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. We pay for the call at 888-5-PETER-B, and Jake's here to kick things off today. Hello, Jake.
Hey, Peter B. How's it going?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about the Senate vote, where I believe it was 19 Democrats who voted against pulling troops out of Iraq.
You are correct.
And even Virginia Senator, the newcomer James Webb,
yes, he did.
Apparently voted against pulling troops out.
So did Carl Levin of Michigan, who is you know, pretty much a good guy most of the time. to be on the positive side, we saw all four of the Democratic senators running for president: Dodd, Biden, Clinton, and Obama voted for it. And I think that's progress. Also, both California senators voted for it. And in the past, I would have had my doubts about Dianne Feinstein.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, Dianne Feinstein, she does, she's kind of the epitome of a pro-choice Republican often, unfortunately, it seems. But this vote, I can't believe James Webb. I mean, he was the guy who was out there out front, even giving the response to the president's speech, saying that, you know, we need to get out of Iraq. That's a failed policy. That the strategy is only killing more of our own troops. I don't understand this calculation where they think voting in a direction that might please some on the right wing is going to help them out in this election next year. Clearly the tide is against the Republicans. It's against the occupation. 70% of the public wants out, according to the polls. So, you know, maybe James Webb should write a new book instead of Rules of Engagement. He could call it Fools of Engagement.
Well, I hear your point, and it is disappointing. On the other hand, given that they knew they were not going to win this vote, to have those individuals, many wobblers like Clinton, step up and vote for it is progress. And I give Harry Reid some credit for bringing a vote that he knew was not going to pass, because we need this to happen repeatedly until we peel off more Republicans and Bush gets that message. So, yes, it's disappointing what happened today, but I believe that it is a sign of some progress, and we need to work on people like Webb and find out why he did vote against it. The Levin of Michigan claims that his vote was because it didn't include any funding for the troops. But, you know, that's, again, the faulty frame of the Republicans. And this is not an issue about funding, quote-unquote, the troops. It is about whether the war is going to continue or not. And we know that the troops will be taken care of. And so we've got to get Democrats off that that particular talking point. Jake, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. 888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to comment, we've got room for your call the rest of this hour. It's all callers, so grab a line and tell me what's on your mind. 888-573-8372 or 1-888-5 Peter B.
A radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
This week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, listen as Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Holdings, discusses with Michael Yesk how to use a 1031 exchange to invest in real estate, along with our free seminar this Tuesday, May 22nd at the Santa Clara Marriott. For more information on the free real estate seminar, call 916-941-9977. That's 916-941-9977. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Hey, everybody, let's take a look at the latest. Starting it off with a situation working in, Santa Cruz. northbound Highway 1 at 17. Solo vehicle hit the center divide and knocked off chunks of concrete on Highway 17. We have crews on scene, and they have the right lane blocked till at least 5:45 tonight. In Tulare, northbound 101 before Tulare, spilled load of, get ready for this, lettuce blocking the left lane. Yesterday it was artichokes, today it's lettuce. Salinas, northbound 101 after Laurel, we have a disabled vehicle. It's blocking the second lane from the left. CHP on the way to the scene. Traffic starting to back up in the area. This report brought to you by the Santa Fe Packing Company, Salsa and Con Queso. Turn ordinary meals into something extraordinary with Spike's all-natural Santa Fe Packing Company Salsa, Con Queso, and dips. Just the way you like it. Find it in the Mexican food aisle. It's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B.
As I was walking, living up highway.
We're in the free speed zone where your calls and comments are welcome right now. Two lines available, toll free, 888-5 Peter B. Coos Bay, Oregon, you alive there? Haven't heard from you in a couple of days.
This land was made for you and me.
You can also email me, humblehost@peterbcollins.com. And if you've got ideas for topics, guests, or things that you haven't heard on the Peter B. Collins Show, drop a note to our able producer, Katrina@peterbcollins.com. And up next, we've got Drew in Monterey. Hey, Drew, how you doing today?
Hey, Peter. Thanks for taking my call.
I always do.
I really enjoyed the song you played by that fella. But you know, I'm always kind of the voice of adversity on your show.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I don't think the imams that spew their hate speech against the West and many of their followers could hear a song like that and just have their hearts and minds changed. You know, I feel mm-hmm. it's a little naive to think that, you know, a people that have a certain ideology could hear a song like All You Need Is Love. And then have it suddenly dawn on them, hey, you're right. All you need is love.
Well, I think I understand your point, but let's work with what you're talking about there about the imams preaching hate. What do you believe will change their attitudes? Certainly, you know, American pop music will not put a dent in what they're thinking.
Well, unfortunately, Peter, I know it's not what everybody wants to hear, but I think only an iron fist is going to change them. I mean, I think total...
Well, and Drew, I understand that point of view, and I think that we have used the iron fist, and it has enraged them. And we have more violence in Palestine today. We have Pakistan blowing up, and obviously Iraq and Afghanistan are not under control. And yeah. So to, you know, I think that's a little naive to say that the iron fist or the, you know, projection of a rifle or a tank with depleted uranium rounds, I do not think that is going to change the hearts and minds of these people. And that's a fundamental issue that I think we need to address.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the bottom line is you need to reach the people that are on the fence and swing them towards a peaceful solution. But, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, a people that have felt a certain way for so many thousands of years, sometimes you got to come to the conclusion that they're not going to change. And, you know, I think these people are starting to attack us not through weapons, but through the pen. And they're trying to achieve Sharia law as they are. I don't know where it is exactly, somewhere in England or Europe. They're trying to achieve Sharia law. And it's just a frightening thing to me if other countries start to cave to this ideology that these people have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to stop, man.
Well, it's a real challenge, Drew, and I don't minimize that at all. I simply think that we've got to be strategic and that our military power is not an effective weapon against the asymmetrical warfare that is practiced by these people who have been taught to hate us. And we need to look at why they're taught to hate us and try to address those underlying issues. And I'm not being namby-pamby here. I'm not saying that, you know, we can wish it away with happy thoughts and messages of love. I think, though, that the military effort that we've tried is failing in the very respect that you're talking about.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is, I mean, clearly, you're right, it is failing. I think it, to a certain extent, it is succeeding, but you know, we just got to keep in mind that, that military options can't be completely off the table, because it may come to a point where a lot of people have to die. I mean, in war, innocent people die, and that's just the hideous, ugly truth of war, and that's been the way of life.
Well, I think there's another way, though, Drew. I think that we can deal with some of these people through engagement and through respect, and I do think that others who take to violence and who want to hurt us or allies or other parties in the world do need to be dealt with sharply. But it doesn't mean that we simply blindly project a fist into every Muslim country. They are different. And the Bush administration does not appreciate that, and the evidence is clear day after day. They don't have a clue about the difference between Sunni and Shia, about the whole factor of, you know, where Al-Qaeda came from. They are not a Shia group, and we have tried repeatedly to link them that way, and it's just phony, and it undermines our efforts to project a positive image and message from the United States and try to deal with these things long term. I really appreciate your call today. Thanks for checking in, Drew. More calls coming up in the Free Speech Zone. Got a couple of lines available, so call me now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. I remain Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out.
I'm Peter B. We're taking your calls, free speech, and it is free. We pay for your call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. More calls in just a second, but I want to direct you to the New York Times op-ed page today where Tom Friedman, the guy who says, just 6 more months and we'll know what's going to happen in Iraq, well, he's off the wagon. And he makes a very interesting comparison between the domestic corruption of the Bush administration and the failed occupation of Iraq. He compares the de-bathification, you know, where we kicked out all the Saddamas and all the army people and left them unemployed with a lot of time on their hands and plenty of guns and ammo around, with the political operation at the Justice Department, where people were selected on whether they supported the pro-life position and the Republican Party. And he makes the point that many of the cronies who were sent to Baghdad during the Bremer phase of the occupation were totally unqualified, and they're simply because of their political leanings and loyalty to the Bush administration. So it's an interesting piece if you have a chance to go online or pick up the paper and read it.
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out.
And why is that, Gilchrist Heron?
You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised.
Oh, really?
The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox and Four Fox without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not.
Daniel in Arcata, join us. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Just fine. I tried to set up your comment with that song, talking piece, Early Rap, from Gil Scott Heron.
Well, I appreciated the Tom Friedman segue, because I'm going to do you one better than Friedman's article.
All right.
And I'm going to tell you that the war is already over.
Really?
Now, let me explain why I say that. In the last month, we found out that Iraq is no longer reporting casualty numbers to the UN.
You're right.
They also, within the last couple of days, are no longer going to allow reporters or cameramen or any sort of recording at bomb sites.
Ah, but you didn't read the fine print, Daniel. It's only for the first hour.
Yeah, after the military can clean up the bodies.
They got to preserve the forensic evidence.
It sounds a little the other way around. You know, and our military.
How can you be so skeptical of the Bush administration and the Pentagon?
Our military now is also dropping the victims of these bombings, whether it be suicide, roadside, sectarian, or other, from the Iraqi death numbers. And already we've got Talabani last week saying that violence in Baghdad is down 80%. In some of the research I've done, I found top U.S. officials saying violence in Baghdad is down 60%. Baghdad is becoming safe.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to, over the next few months, because we're not using the real death numbers anymore, say that Baghdad is safe. George Bush has accomplished his mission, and he looks like a hero for standing up to the Democrats who put pressure on him all the time to stop the war.
Well, Daniel, I think all your suspicions are well placed here, and it does appear to be something very contrived. It's the Maliki government, our puppets, who imposed this this ban on reporting of car bombings and other major incidents. And I find it interesting that Dick Cheney was just there a week ago threatening the Iraqis, and I can only wonder if his fat fingers are all over this policy.
Cheney's presence actually was the thing that kind of tipped me to it. He shows up there, and then, I think, was it the next day they announced that policy on the reporters?
I think it was announced on Friday, and he was there, what, Wednesday, Thursday? It was very close. Yeah.
It seems very suspect to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you make a good point, Daniel. I appreciate the call today.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks for checking in. Now to Don in, it says, Nuevo, Michigan. Hello, Don.
Hi. How are you doing, Peter?
I'm okay. Where's Nuevo?
Oh, it's take a line straight north of Grand Rapids and straight east of Muskegon.
Okay, so I would go north on the M31?
No, 37, actually.
Oh, 37, okay.
Yeah, 131 would take you 18 miles east of me, but yeah.
Okay.
That's where I'm at. And I talk to you and Mike Malloy as D.B. Cooper, and I like that name.
Oh, okay, now I remember you.
Okay, good. I was poking around, seeing about Merck and the millionaire guys that got to kick out $600-some-odd million because they were misrepresenting OxyContin.
Right, Russia's favorite drug.
Uh-huh. And when I started reading about it, I found out that it's an opiate, and it can be produced and is being produced in by some companies by opium poppies.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding. So the Afghan connection is kicking in again.
Yeah, it just kind of makes sense because the two biggest money makers in the world are illegal drugs and oil. So it explains Afghanistan. It explains Iraq.
Well, it is a little hard to believe that the U.S. went into Afghanistan in order to expand poppy production there, but that is the unintended consequence. At least I hope it was unintended.
Oh, I would hope it is, too, but it is also true that from everything I've read that they have not been able to... Actually, the poppies have been going... They've been making more.
Oh, yeah.
More.
In fact, the New York Times today has a lengthy story with maps and little icons that indicate where the poppies are being grown, and I believe I just glanced at it, but I think it shows just how much production has increased over the last 5 years.
There you go. And then you think back, way back, talk about Negroponte, talk about Iran-Contra, talk about the cocaine that paid for some of that.
Well, and yeah, that was an amazing thing, but that, of course, was just so that those planes that took arms to Central America didn't have to deadhead back.
Oh, okay. Yep. That does seem to ring a bell as well.
Well,
tinfoil hats aside, I thought I'd throw that out there because your listeners, you know, everybody starts putting this stuff together. We might be able to put the jigsaw puzzle together.
Yeah. All right, Don. Thanks for checking in from Michigan. Hey, let me ask you one other thing, unrelated.
Sure, Peter.
About the Chrysler deal.
Yeah.
Do you remember the O. Henry story called The Ransom of Red Chief?
Oh, golly, I used to read some O. Henry, but not that particular one can I remember. But go on.
It's a great story. It's about a kid that gets kidnapped, and he is so obstreperous that in the end, the kidnappers pay his parents to take him back. And what happened in the deal announced this week with the buyout group led by former Treasury Secretary John Snow,
right,
is that the Germans paid this group about $750 million to take Chrysler off their hands.
Yeah, $40 million and what, I mean, there's a $40 million going to them over what the deal was, or something like that, yeah.
Well, the new owners are absorbing or assuming $18 billion worth of pension obligations.
Right.
So that means that the Chrysler Corporation is way underwater.
Uh-huh.
And the Germans felt that they were lucky to get out and pay the ransom
pretty much
to get out from under it.
Yep. And I had just read that story too. I didn't do it and it was last night off a Raw story, I think I saw it, but
well, and the dark thing here is that the history of the privatization of public companies is that the new owners will simply ravage the company. They will try to unload the pension obligations to the extent that they can.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, they'll eviscerate the United Auto Workers and downsize the company and probably sell off the pieces, or maybe they'll take it public first.
Sure.
To try to recover their investment. And I think that this is a really sad day for Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends and relatives there who refer to Chrysler as a family operation. They call it Chrysler's.
Okay.
And I think that this is just another benchmark point in the breaking of the contract with workers in America.
I understand that completely. I've never been a union member, but I always wanted to be one.
Yeah.
And nonetheless, I'm driving a Chrysler right now, and boy, they don't make them like they used to.
Yeah. What brand? What model do you have?
I've got a Dynasty. It's about 10 years old or more.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a total piece of crap.
Well, check out, if you want to try to help Chrysler in their moment of need.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you're into SUVs. I test drive cars on the side.
I hear those blurbs that come out. Yeah,
yeah.
You do. They're the you were behind the wheel of some
$40,000
great car. I know.
Well, recently I test drove a Chrysler Pacifica, and while it's not a high mileage or a hybrid vehicle,
mm-hmm.
it's a pretty impressive, well designed car.
Right.
And I give them credit. They've got a few vehicles out there that I think people should notice. And I'm not really interested in rewarding the buyout artists there. But
no.
if they make honest deals with the union and protect the pension rights of workers, then I'd be one of the first to go out there and say, hey, don't buy another Japanese car. Buy a Chrysler and help keep them in operation here at home.
That would be good, and I'd hate to see them go away, because I don't think Ford and GM should be able to take over all the continental U.S. auto production as well. And in all fairness, my car is in the point it's at because of my neglect.
Yeah. The other thing, Don, that I want to see is I think this is another opening for single-payer universal health care in this country. Because instead of bailing out Chrysler the way we did with Lee Iacocca in the 1980s with government loans,
right.
I would like to see us bail out the entire auto industry and, in fact, the manufacturing base in this country by making us competitive once again,
mm-hmm.
and essentially federalizing the cost of health care and sharing it across the board. Number one, we could get the 46 million people who don't have insurance covered, and
I'd like that.
We could preserve our manufacturing base. That's my brilliant idea, so pass it along, will you?
It's being passed as we speak, Peter. Thanks
Thank you,
so
Don.
Much for taking my call.
Now let's go further east. Brian in Manchester. Good to hear from you today, Brian.
This is Joe from Brookings, Oregon.
Okay, well, Brian faded, so you got the mic, Joe. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, just to add one little thing about Hillary. Hillary Clinton, she never did propose a single-payer health care. Matter of fact, the last thing she would want to do would be to have anything to do with single-payer health care.
You're correct. She is, I think she got pushed back so hard in the 1990s mm-hmm. that she will not confront the insurance or drug companies again.
That's right. That's right. In fact, she's totally on their side. About that Republican Party debate, presidential debate last night.
Let's not call it a debate. It was just a gab fest with questions and answers from the Fox News team.
Well, then something went kablooey, because you had that whole exchange between Ron Paul and Giuliani.
Right.
And he broke the rules
to do that.
Yeah, my God, the way I heard it, Sean Hannity could have blown a blood vessel. I mean, just pop his head open right there on the television screen, which really would have been too bad. I mean, good God, you got a guy like Ron Paul, they accuse him of sounding like a liberal. Well, he's not a liberal. He sounds like a libertarian, because that's basically what he is. you know, when a guy like Ron Paul goes around talking about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and you know, these sorts of things sound really quaint to these neo-fascist, neo-conservatives. So a guy like Ron Paul, you know, gets up there and talks about, you know, well, you know, maybe we didn't need to kill hundreds of thousands of people in Iraq for no reason to get, just to supposedly get revenge for September 11th. Well, that sounds really, really strange and bizarre to these people.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, Ron Paul was supposed to be excluded from last night's debate. And they were going to use the excuse, oh, well, he's a minor candidate. You know, that he was a minor candidate, and they were going to use that excuse. Ron Paul was actually in Aaron Russo's movie, America from Freedom to Fascism.
Mm-hmm.
Just to promote that movie once again, you know, after all, these Republicans and the Democrats to a lesser degree, but I believe it's the same with them also, they don't want anybody getting up and talking about, you know, actual freedom and having people actually stand up for their rights.
Or suggest that there's something behind 9/11 that goes deeper than just people who hate us for our freedom. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. And speaking of Ron Paul and libertarians, Tom Hartman has the best line of the day. Libertarians are Republicans who want to get laid and smoke dope. And I would add they want lower taxes, too. We'll continue in a moment here in the Free Speech Zone. There's room for you, too. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Sober stones. Get yours now. Big Sur jade stones are found only in a small cove off the coast of Big Sur. Rare and priceless. Used for healing by the native Indians for thousands of years. Keep it in your pocket to remind you of your sobriety. Call 521-7917 for yours now. 521-7917. Only $15 includes shipping and handling. A deep green mesmerizing jade stone. Sober stone. Call now. 521-7917.
And folks, let's take a look at traffic. Let's let you know we have a problem. Let's see. We're still working on Salinas northbound 101 after Laura. Second lane from the left is blocked at this point because of a stalled vehicle. Also want to take a look at Boulder Creek. And I'm talking about Highway 9 at Skyline. We have an injury crash. Paramedics and fire department on scene there. It's because of a vehicle that went off of the roadway. Chular, northbound 101 before Chular, a spilled load of lettuce. You don't see that every day in Chular, do you? It's blocking the left lane. And they're still working on a problem in the northbound 1 at 17 in Santa Cruz. Solo vehicle at the center divide. We have lots of chunks of concrete knocked off into the roadway. Crews are on scene to clean up that mess. Northbound 1 is blocked and remains blocked at this point. A sport brought to you by In-N-Out Burger.
we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm going to get the hook here in a few minutes.
I just love your sexy ways now, baby. You know my love will never stop now, baby. Just put your loving in my box now, baby. Wrap it up.
All right, all right. But first, we got to talk to John in Carmel Valley. He's been holding all day. Go ahead, John.
Yesterday, I want to apologize. You know, you were going to hold me over some commercials there, and I didn't realize it, so I hung up, and you had a big dead space when you went back to me.
You broke my heart, and then I had to challenge Bill O'Reilly for the, most name-calling in a minute record.
Well, I'm sure Falwell fans were steamed at me because I'm not sure I was name-calling, but I was certainly going at him, and I'm still of a mind to go at him because I want to make the point I didn't get to make yesterday, and that is, first of all, I have to confess that I once was in the religious right.
Yeah.
Before they got political, it was during the 70s, and I knew about Falwell only by name. I heard his name referred to at prayer meetings frequently, but I never saw him on TV until one night I was staying in a motel down in Bakersfield, probably about 1978, and it was a huge eye-opener because he had a map of all the 48 states and the Canadian provinces, and he had lines running to numbers which were quotas, and he was demanding his viewers give these amounts, those that lived even in the Yukon, the Northwest Territories. It was unbelievable.
And it wasn't just the demand to send money to keep him on TV.
Well, it gave credence. You know that old expression about money is the mother's milk of politics?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's even more the mother's milk of TV evangelists.
Oh, yeah.
And he was certainly showing that. And then I didn't like his sermonizing because I rarely was impressed by big-time sermonizing anyway, but he had that choir behind him, so the camera was looking at him with the choir behind, and they were the dourest, stodgiest-looking bunch. And the whole hour-long performance just made a giant negative impression on me, as did several other programs, because there wasn't much else on in Bakersfield, the buckle on the Bible Belt in California. The motel wasn't on a cable. Those were probably just whatever TVs they could pick up, channels they could pick up with rabbit ears.
Right.
And so it was pretty much the TV evangelists on a Sunday night. And I watched some more and got even more unimpressed, so that the whole night I kind of tossed and turned and wondered, should I really be in all of this? And I had other misgivings by that time, and the question was quite legitimate, and ultimately I got myself completely out of there.
So we can credit Jerry Falwell for helping you right yourself.
Well, it certainly made an impression. I mean, the fact that I remember that so long ago, it was because essentially it made a deep impression,
yeah.
Negative impression. And there were many more negatives after. You know, one of the things I heard on an NPR program that was trying to analyze him and the whole TV evangelist bunch, they made the point in the discussion that that bunch needs badly some bogeyman. And when the Russians and communism was giving out as the arch bogeyman in the 80s, or about 1980, Falwell decided that abortion should be the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, he steered that whole bunch into Catholicism. It's so ironic because I think he could have been proclaimed the first Protestant pope, or Robertson. Maybe call him Fetus the First because it sounds right.
John,
you know,
John,
kind of
John.
Latin sounding. And
John, on that note, I need to move on. I got a full board here and I'm running out of time.
Okay,
but thanks for your thoughts today. I appreciate that. Chris and Salinas, you're next.
Hey, Peter, it sounds like when you were talking about that bill today or the other day, for the funding, defunding the war?
Yeah, the Feingold bill. It was voted on today.
Oh, today. Harry Reid voted against that, and it sounded like you were sounding like he voted for it, and he voted against that.
No, I simply said that he allowed the vote to take place.
Oh, okay.
And that is progress, because the Democrats have been afraid to bring up votes that they knew they were going to lose. And I think it's important to stand up, to be counted, because over time, that's what's going to change the tide.
But we should see him voting for that.
I agree.
Well,
and
there's quite a few other...
Well, wait.
No.
Reid of Nevada voted yes.
Are you sure?
It was Reid of Rhode Island who voted against it. I'm looking at the list right now. But while I'm in the R's, I just want to slam Jay Rockefeller. He had no business voting against it.
He's had some really questionable votes in the last year or so.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Now to Jackie in Watsonville. Thanks for holding. We got 30 seconds.
Yeah, okay. I just want to say really quickly, if we hadn't been so passive as voters years ago, when the born-again started coming in and becoming extremely strong and with a really strong voice, we wouldn't be in the position we're in now, and it can happen again. We should have paid attention to what was going on, and we've been lax as voters. I voted since I was 21, but we've been, as a general rule, I'm saying we've been lax as voters, and it's people like Progressive Radio that is really getting in and doing something about it. But we have to be alert, because
Jackie,
this whole thing can happen again.
Jackie, I'm out of time. You make a great point. We can't just keep blaming the media and our leaders. Voters
right.
have to take responsibility, too.
Absolutely.
Have a great...
Oceans 18, finally a real 18-hole miniature golf course in town. Open every day from noon till 10, 11 on the weekends. Whether you're 6 or 96, this black light golf course is fun for the whole family. Just a few steps from the Monterey Aquarium in the American Tin Cannery. Oceans 18 is perfect for private parties. Mention you heard this on Sheila's show and get a free glow stick. Oceans 18 opens at 12. Stays open late every day. Ocean's 18 Miniature Golf.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. FEMA trailers might be making people sick. CBS News has learned there's a pattern of respiratory illness afflicting some people who've lived in the trailers for 21 months now. They have persistent coughs, burning eyes, nosebleeds, and sinus infections. Chief Investigative Correspondent Armin Katayan says the problem is in the material used to build the units.
In the rush to put these trailers together, in the wake of Katrina 21 months ago, they used inferior materials, and those materials are letting off the toxic chemical formaldehyde, which is causing a host of respiratory problems for young children.
One manufacturer insists it used materials that met or exceeded industry standards, but Becky Gillette of the Sierra Club in Mississippi calls the trailers toxic tin cans.
There are still some people who can't go in their FEMA trailers more than a few minutes without experiencing burning eyes, sore throat, coughing, and chest congestion.
The head of FEMA says he's sorry about people getting sick, but he doesn't know that the trailers are the cause. Congress and the Bush administration are said to be making progress toward a deal on immigration reform. Today, the president emphasized enforcement when he got a demonstration of a system called PhotoPilot.
And then you enter the Social Security number.
The personnel manager at a local hotel is showing President Bush how she can check the immigration status of workers and job applicants at a special government website.
Because if you employ somebody that you know is here illegally, you're subject to
penalty and fine.
Right.
Under the immigration law still pending in Congress, such background checks would be mandatory for employers. But at the same time, President Bush is pushing for a guest worker program for illegal immigrants. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Near the New Jersey shore, Firefighters are coordinating their efforts against a wildfire apparently started by a flare from a military plane. CBS's Allison Harlan is covering.
What the firefighters have tried to do and what they've succeeded in doing is keeping the fire on one side of the Garden State Parkway, which is essentially mostly brushland. If it is able to jump over to the other side of the Garden State Parkway, we could be looking at thousands upon thousands of evacuations and an enormous, enormous damage to the community there.
They've gotten some help from the weather. Thunderstorm.